This is PFW in progress.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch. Brian Morey.
We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life.
Paul Perillo.
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
And Andy. And Andy?
Lando Calrissian. Scoundrel, you'd like him.
Hello, what have we here?
Andy Hart.
Come on, Anne, buddy, don't let me down.
Frank the Tank.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
PFW in progress.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
And coming up after the show, John Rook and Patriots Playbook.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Oops, can't forget the webmaster, Dave Dudek.
I bet your father is.
PFW in progress.
The Force will be with you, always.
Welcome to PFW in progress, live from the Team Hotel in St. Augustine, the World Golf Village Renaissance Hotel. And just so anyone knows, Dave Dudek played the wrong opening, and John Rook will not be following us after this show. But we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Fred Kirsch, Frank Taddick, Andy Hart, and where's Brian? Does anyone know?
Can you hear me?
Talk again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because my headphones aren't working, so I'll just go live. I don't know where Brian is. Last time I saw him, he was at the press conference. I'm sure he's networking or sucking up to some big wigs.
Brian!
I'm sure he's getting his last few questions in.
Okay.
Is that legal?
He can be long-winded.
Well, already a busy day here.
Very.
This Thursday, we got up 9 o'clock. We taped our PFW show.
9 o'clock?
Yeah. In the lobby. Well, Frank got up earlier. He was up at 6 because he had to go cover the Eagles at 8 o'clock over at their headquarters. Well, you know, Frank, while we're talking about that, we've kind of given them a description of what the Patriots' headquarters looks like. What does the Eagles' headquarters look like?
You know, it's over at the Sawgrass Hotel, so as far as golf course resorts go, it's much the same as we have here. Kind of the same setup, though. There's the conference rooms where the players hold their interviews. There's a different conference room where they have the press conferences every day with Andy Reid, and usually either Terrell Owens or Don McNabb.
But you're actually in the hotel, not like here, because we're in a big tent right outside the hotel.
No, we're actually in the hotel. You kind of go in the main entrance, and they have all the banquet rooms set up right there, so you don't get back into the hotel, but everything's right up front.
Right.
So,
and you take that long route that we took to the party where seems like you're driving in, it's like nothing, then luxury condos, then nothing again, some more luxury condos, and then you're at this PGA golf course.
Yeah, basically you take like about 20 minutes worth of side roads towards the coast, and all of a sudden there's just this, it's a Point of Vidra, Florida? Is that the name
Point
of it?
Point of Vidra.
Beautiful. Beautiful over there as you get closer to the water. It's about 20 minutes from here, so it's the Sawgrass Golf Course looks beautiful, though. You can tell why the PGA Tour is there.
Did you catch the downpour today?
Yeah,
when the tent just sounded like it was about to collapse.
All of a sudden the skies just open up today. I guess it did last night too, but I missed that.
Do they hold the player availability in the tent as well?
Yes, the tent is split down. Well, there's like a grass strip down the middle. There's a press conferences on one side, a little food area, and then the other side is just all the tables for the players.
I am a very big fan of how they have the player availability set up yesterday and today, though, Fred, because the way that they have the players, like one or two players at a table, you can kind of just go mingle around the room and sit down and talk to players. I've gotten more information out of the last 2 days than you would in any locker room session.
Because they have to be there.
Right.
No, it's great. And all the coaches are available as
right.
well.
And how often do you get to sit down and talk to offensive and defensive coordinators and really just pick their brain?
I went one step further. Talked for quite a while with Brad Seeley today.
Nice.
Talking about special teams. And then obviously I'll be doing this in my update, but talked a little bit about the fact that zero talk ever of him being a head coach. You know, that's just not how it works. You don't go from special teams coordinator to head coach. Talked a little bit about Scott O'Brien, who's a guy who was a Panthers special teams coach, a Bill Belichick guy who made the jump with Nick Saban and is now his director of football operations down there, wondering if maybe that in some way is, you know, because there's that ceiling. And once you're the coordinator.
Exactly.
And Brad kind of talked about how, you know, you just, you live with it. You know, he likes his job a lot, and he understands the way things work. He gave me a name of one guy who made the jump for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to say Frank Gaines. Does that ring a bell, Frank?
Gaines?
I've heard the name before.
I'm going to have to look it up, but he said he coached them for about 2 years with not very good success, and he thinks maybe that hurt it. And because I said, you know, it seems like it would make sense because a special teams guy is dealing with the entire team. There's a lot of motivation involved. You know, there's dealing, you know, this guy's out, so you need to find somebody else to fill that role. There's a lot of similarities between the head coaching and special teams, but for whatever reason, it doesn't get recognized, and it's not, you know, you don't move up that way.
And I sat down and talked with Jim Johnson, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, just kind of picking his brain about Tom Brady. And it's just interesting when you can sit down with someone. It's just a totally different dynamic than speaking with a head coach when you can talk to an assistant coach, position coach, a coordinator, or whatever it may be.
Did you ask him if Bill Belichick's the only one who calls him Jimmy Johnson? Because I never hear anybody say Jimmy.
No, I've heard Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Who?
On TV.
Because I always get confused. I don't know whether they're talking about him or Jimmy Johnson.
His little name tag they had on the table said Jim Johnson.
Yeah, and when you look like media guys, and, that kind of stuff says
and
Jim.
The players call him Jim. So I just
started 2 weeks
that.
Ago, Bill says, you know, Jimmy's got one of the more aggressive defenses, or Jimmy's this.
Yeah,
Jimmy's
I noticed that. He calls him Jimmy, and I'm not so sure that that's
he calls him
what they
Schwartzy, too, and that's not his name, I guess, so.
Jimmy likes the defense.
That's true.
Jimmy likes the defense.
The Eagles definitely, they'll have an impressive array of coaches in their staff. Sat down with John Harbaugh at Media Day and talked with him about special teams. They have
Looks
Jim Johnson
like
on defense.
Brother.
Yes. and it, his father, Jack Harbaugh, used to be the coach at Western Kentucky University, and I believe he's an assistant in the NFL somewhere right
Western
now.
Kentucky? Also
no,
the
actually,
home of?
Well, they're the
Romeo
home.
Cornell, I think.
Really?
I believe Romeo Cornell went to Western Kentucky.
Did
I will look that up.
You did not know that. Western Kentucky is really known for being the school of Clem Haskins.
I didn't know they were known for anything.
That and the school's on a hill, so what do you want to say?
Romeo Crennel was a graduate assistant at Western Kentucky in 1970, 71 to 74, their defensive line coach.
There you have it.
And who did you say there?
Go Toppers.
Harbaugh's dad?
Jack Harbaugh's, John Harbaugh's dad, Jack Harbaugh's the head coach at Western Kentucky.
Is?
Yes.
Has he been for
yes, a number of years.
35 years?
No.
So I guess it wasn't, there's no overlapping with Romeo Crennel then.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is email address.
Oh, that's what Romeo
played. Webradio@patriots.com. And you can call in today because of the fine technological work of Trent Adams and Dave Dudek. You can now call into the show. Here's the number, 904-940-6569. Let me repeat that, 904-940-6569.
Where's the sound bites? We have that sound bite somewhere.
Dave is flustered. He's all over the place. So
he's doing a fine job, though.
He's still really wondering if the Dunkin' Donuts outside our door are for us or for the players.
Dave, you missed the freebies. They were giving out more Gillette Mach 3 vibrating razors over in the media tent.
There you go.
Dozens of them just sitting there for you to take.
Okay, so 904.
Just so you know, Dave, if you find it now, we don't need the soundbite anymore.
904-940-6569. Email address is webradio@patriots.com.
And we'll definitely repeat that number for people so they can, because it's different than our normal number.
Right.
Plus, it's confusing. 904-940.
Right.
Don't transpose those. You'll end up calling who knows.
So what other news with the Eagles? You spent some time talking with Terrell Owens today. Anything different coming out of the Eagles camp than the last couple days?
Well, Eagles camp has been interesting all week, actually, but today was especially interesting because Terrell Owens had a press conference. Rather than just sitting at a podium in the banquet room, he held a press conference today.
He's bigger than the team.
Well, so is Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison had a press conference
I believe
today?
So, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so Brady had one yesterday. He
they
bigger
have a,
than the team.
They have a player.
Donovan McNabb.
Yesterday was media day.
No, the day before was
Tuesday
media day.
Was media day.
They always have a player do a press conference.
It's always
the
coach, player, and then everyone.
Okay,
right.
All right.
Anyways, nothing really out of the ordinary. He said earlier in the week that he doesn't expect to be 100%, and I think that's something people kind of are going with. But when he was asked if he could play a whole game, he said not at this point. So he kind of spoke to the fact that his conditioning isn't up to where it needs to be. I mean, obviously he missed.
So then what's the point of having him out there?
Because he's good. He's better than everyone else.
Even
what's the point of having Richard Seymour out there? He's mentioned that his conditioning is going to be an issue.
I don't think that if he couldn't play well, he'd be out there.
I mean, receivers rotate anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll take Terrell Owens if I can get him for 60% of the plays.
Hey, Richard Seymour.
At what level?
At 80%.
I think Richard Seymour.
That's better than Mitchell.
And the question is, will he even be at that
level? That's the question. You know, that's won't know that till you see him.
Ron Borges had an article today. Didn't he have an article from some medical association saying that there's no way he should be playing Terrell Owens?
I think when you have a player like Owens or Seymour and you can get them at 80%, that's better than what most guys are going to be at.
But what a. You know, we know Seymour's going to have a knee brace. What is Owens?
He said he's just going to tape his ankle and play. He just said he doesn't anticipate wearing any type of brace or anything like that. So,
well, I hope he doesn't.
I know it's a risk he's willing to take.
Honestly, I don't care if he gets hurt in this game. I hope it doesn't affect his career.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't want to see a talent like that risk it for a Super Bowl and then have it really cost
you. You and I have both had major knee injuries, and there gets to a point where you start to develop some confidence.
This is the knee injury club here.
Well, we're talking about Terrell.
All right.
Okay, we don't have to talk about it.
You guys are going to compare scars now?
Mine's bigger.
Oh.
No chance. I have like six.
No, his is bigger.
Really? Okay.
No, I was going to say there's a certain point where the player develops some trust in the ankle, and I'm sure through practice this week, there's a point in his mind where he's like, I'm comfortable playing,
right.
But you worry about the overconfidence factor.
Yeah, right.
Like you said, Fred, you worry about his long-term health.
And the fact, you know, Seymour said he can't let, because it's the Super Bowl effect, whether he, you know, can't let that come into his mind and say, you know what, Super Bowl, I got to push it a little extra. Is Owens doing that? Maybe, maybe not. You know, you won't know. And, you know, there's a difference between running a pattern out on the practice field at 80% and then trying to avoid Rodney Harrison, who's trying to kill you on, you know, the game field.
And it was brought up today, too. And at no point has Andy Reid said that Terrell Owens is going to play.
Right.
And it was also brought up to the Eagles doctors haven't cleared him to play, but he said, I'm not at all concerned.
Right.
About that. That's what he said today.
And I'm sure the Eagles, you know, for some degree, they're happy with that. You know, the indecision, the not knowing is good.
I think it's the exact angle that the Patriots took with Seymour in the playoffs is we're going to put this out there. He may or may not play. He may or may not be practicing, but, you know, that's a smoke and mirrors type tactic. And when it comes to one of your best players, what better angle to take?
An all-pro player. It's good for the other team to at least spend some time preparing.
Right, and all teams do it. I mean, look at the way, like, Denver used to use injury report when Shanahan was allowed to do that.
All teams cheat.
Well, speaking of injury reports, the first ones this week came out yesterday, and the Patriots was blank.
Right.
No reported injuries. Nobody missed practice. Eagles had a few guys on theirs.
Owens questionable.
Yep.
Runyon and...
DJ...
Mark Cimino and L.J. Smith.
L.J. Smith. Probable.
Probable.
So, yeah, John Runyon had a knee injury. Cimino missed the last two games of the playoffs with an ankle injury, and L.J. Smith was reported with a back injury.
You think it's strange that Seymour's not even listed as probable?
Yep, I think it's a little bit shady.
Yeah,
here's the way I look
at
it.
Shady how?
Shady because he couldn't practice 2 days earlier, but now he's 100% chance he's going to play. There's no possibility he doesn't play?
Obviously, there's not.
Okay.
Look at it this way.
For a team that put Tom Brady on the injury report for the first X number of weeks,
it'd be 16.
But if they're telling you that there's 100% chance that he's going to play...
That just might mean he plays one game.
You're telling me there was a chance Tom Brady wasn't going to play one of those games?
Apparently so.
Okay.
I mean, they're not related. The two instances aren't related. I'm telling you that if he's not on the injury report, it means there's a 100% chance that he's going to play.
Okay.
Today.
I think that's not working necessarily openly.
The spirit of the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
He missed a practice 2 days earlier because of an injury. To me, there's got to be at least a 5% chance in your mind that he doesn't play.
Well, it has to be 25%.
Well, no. Because Bill Belichick, when the whole Brady thing came up, said, well... You know, we have the 25%, and he's not 100%. But there's anything, he's supposed to be on there.
I think if you're practicing this, you're probably going to
play. It's not if there's anything. It's if there's any chance that you're not going to play.
Telling me there's 0% chance that Richard Seymour doesn't play?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is
that's naive.
It's not naive. I'm telling you, that's what it means. He's going to play.
I know what it means.
By the way, Brian Morey's here.
So I mean, who are you to question that? I don't understand. If he's going to play in the game, why does he have to...
2 days earlier, and now there's no chance he won't play.
He said he could have practiced. They chose not to practice him.
So if the field is wet on Sunday night, he might not play?
I mean, listen, I'm not telling you that he's 100% healthy. That's not what the injury report tells you. It gives you the chances of the guy playing or not playing. Bill Belichick is telling you that there's a 100% chance that he's going to play in the game.
Okay.
I mean, and I believe that there's a 100% chance.
I know you believe
it. You don't think there's a 100% chance he's going to play in the game?
No.
I mean, unless he
can. I think any time you're recovering from an injury that's caused you to miss 6 weeks, there's a chance you don't play.
But he's telling you that there's no chance.
I know what he's telling me.
Okay. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 904-940-6569. We got a slew of emails coming in, so I want to get to those.
One more injury question, though, just for you, Frank. Mark Cimino, Keith Adams was starting in his place, and I saw some talk that maybe Keith Adams will continue to start.
They split reps in practice yesterday.
Keith Adams, by the way, Fred.
Julius Adams' son.
Yes.
They split reps in practice yesterday, and it's not really a question Andy Reid has been asked, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. Adams has been starting, so I wouldn't be at all surprised if they kept Adams in there and Cimino rotates in.
It doesn't really matter, but it's just another little injury question.
Okay. Now, Dave, in the second hour, are we going to be talking with Dave Spadaro from the Eagles?
Yes.
We'll set that up?
Yep, it's all set up, and we'll hook that up probably some point in the second hour.
Okay, so Dave Spadaro, he's like their guy, runs their newspaper, runs their website, does a show on the website.
They have the team-owned newspaper as well?
We'll have to ask him. I think it is.
Well, he's the editor of it, but I'm not sure if it's team-owned.
Well, we can ask him.
He's on the website.
When we have him on,
we'll
ask
him. He's on the website on their PBN type.
Do they do a daily video show?
That's a good question.
These are all questions.
They do. They have like a four-person full-time staff.
Yeah, it's the Eagles Television Network, but I didn't know that it was daily or whatnot.
ETV.
ETN.
ETN.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, that'll be after the 1 o'clock hour, and Dave Dudek will set that up. And
a lot of pressure, Dave.
I saw Dave in.
There's always a lot of pressure.
Dave was in the lunchroom today taking pictures of the buffet. So if you're interested in seeing what we ate today, go to DaveDudek.com.
That's great.
Later, and I'm sure you'll have a full rundown of everything that was available for us to eat. And by the way, the beef stir fry was excellent.
I happen to like the salmon personally.
Okay. All right, so let's get on with some emails, unless Brian, now why were you late, 20 minutes late?
I was conducting some interviews.
I hope it was with either a Kraft or Bill Belichick.
There's a good site here, by the way.
Who are you interviewing after media period ended?
It's a good site here.
He's not answering.
Yeah, he's just ignoring us and flipping around on the website.
Today, Junior!
It's a good website that Bob Doyle just turned me on to.
Okay, great. Anyway, why were you...
Does this have to do with the radio show? Yeah.
Biggest stud in the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a little dumb.
Biggest dud, Gene Marchkowski.
Hey,
what's wrong with me and Gene?
The other duds, Marquise Hill, Telly Bantakane, Stephen Neal, and Matt Chatham.
Stephen Neal?
Is this a reputable website that we need to care about?
The other studs, Michael Lewis, Terrell Owens, Adam Vinatieri, and Tom Brady.
Now, is this by looks or is this by... Oh, okay, this is by looks. Aw, poor Gene.
Is there a way to get a team list, Bob?
Is this something that we...
This is a Super Bowl website.
All right. It's Jacksonville.com.
Jacksonville.com?
Jacksonville.com. They rank all the players based only on their...
So this must be kind of like team picture. Inside track or some sort
just
of...
Just based on the team picture? So
that's all they've listed.
Really, the major hole in this whole thing is they haven't actually met any of these people.
Right.
Well, it's readers. Readers are voting. You can vote for it.
So actually, no, what I'm saying, though, is if it's a headshot, you're only seeing them from the shoulders up. There's a lot left to look at.
I'm not sure that's a road we want to go down.
But anyways, it's readers judge.
He's got a great pooper.
Exactly.
Made up news.
Well,
Fred would say, boy, that guy's got a nice bubble.
There's the line. Brian crossed it.
See?
Now, can we get back to who you were interviewing after media period ended?
So Vrabel...
Is this a Patriots.com exclusive?
Why do you refuse to answer this question?
I don't think I have to answer it.
Oh, you don't have to... You don't feel you need to give us a reason why you're late?
Fred, make him. You're his boss. You own his time.
Threaten to fire him.
Say, get out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Why? Who were you talking to?
I was talking to a coach.
A coach?
Of the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Off the record?
And?
And what?
And who was it?
I can't reveal that.
Why not?
Because.
Is it that exclusive?
No, there's a
I just don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Brian, there's a lot of journalists that don't reveal their sources.
It was open access. Everyone was allowed to talk to the coaches today.
You could go to prison for this, you know.
I don't want to get them in
that
trouble.
Guy in Rhode Island went to prison for not revealing.
Okay, so is it anything that we're going to be able to read about later on at Patriots.com or in PFW?
Nothing real exclusive.
All right,
there.
So in other words, Andy, you were using up our time to do something not related to work.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do the show today. We usually do it in groups of two. I didn't know that I had
to. Not during the Super Bowl, Brian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And if Brian's interview was at all related to mobsters and lobsters, he could definitely go to prison.
Wow. Mobsters and lobsters.
For crying out
loud. Brian goes to prison.
So Murchkowski finished last.
I feel bad for – who was second to last?
Marquise Hill.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
All right, webradio.com. Jamie from Houston, Adam, you guys too. Make
upset.
The offseason bearable and the season way more enjoyable and entertaining. It's been a true treat to listen to your program for the last year. Keep up the great work. We displaced Pats fans. Love you guys. Well, thank you. The love fest continues, as the subject line says. No comments, guys?
Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very
all right.
Much.
Thank you. Patrick says, what's your take on Ty Law's future with the Pats? Can we expect another immature outburst just like last year's offseason? What do you think in terms of contract concessions would it take to keep him? Better yet, is keeping Ty worth the effort? He definitely has not taken on the leadership role in the backfield, as has Rodney. What is your take on this?
I'm not sure that's so true that he hasn't taken on a leadership position.
Well, I mean, come on.
I think he's a leader when he's in the locker room and on the field.
I do, too. I certainly do.
Now, if you say when he's on the...
I don't think he's a great leader.
I'm not saying...
I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's a great leader.
I think he's a great competitor.
I think he's certainly a leader. Maybe not a great leader, but when he's out on the practice field and when he's with the younger cornerbacks, I certainly think...
When there's a water break and he's doing sprints across the field during training camp and doing extra sit-ups instead of sitting down, stuff rubs off on people.
No, I think that's true.
There's also... Randall Gay says... Well, if Ty Law doesn't, he makes $12 million and he's an all-pro, maybe I should be doing it.
That's true.
You know, there's also a day where practice got shortened and Ty Law went running on Route 1.
That's and that's
on his own.
That's what Bill Belichick talks about when he discusses, you know, everybody's a stockholder in the team. Everyone's a leader.
Right,
you know,
in different ways.
Because you're examples and stuff like that. But, you know, I just look at it like, you know, he's one of those guys. He's one of those veteran guys that's been here, you know, the five or six guys that have been here for a long time. He's like the only one that's never been... voted a captain by his teammates.
Yeah.
I'm not that that's the end all be all. I'm not sure. I think
the only thing I think
it all counts,
and it does. But I think you need to separate Ty Law, football player, from Ty Law, as he puts it, CEO of Ty Law Incorporated.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are two different. And yes, that pops up as soon as the season ends. That becomes the issue, you know, Ty Law the CEO, not
right.
Ty Law the player anymore. So,
but I have no problem with that.
I think if you're looking at Law's direct impact on his teammates, especially the younger guys, I think on the field and in practice and in meetings, he has every bit the influence that Rodney Harrison does.
But and you it's know, not you take negative.
You take a guy like Ted Johnson. Who had his problem with the coach, even had a one-day walkout or whatever, however long it was, yet he was still made a captain by his teammates.
Right. Yeah. I think Ty works hard, and I think that if that's a good example for younger players, then so be it. I don't think he's the type of guy that takes a young player under his wing, and like Rodney does, and try to work with him. I might be wrong. I've never heard of him doing that.
I've talked with Ty about his relationship with Randall Gay, and I got the impression that he's worked with him.
But that said, I think Ty's back next year.
I do too.
So do I.
Okay, under the same contract or renegotiated?
Nope, same contract.
That was
so they're
going to
pay
him,
what, $14
million? They have $9.5 million of new money.
$12 million
cap money.
All that matters is the new money.
Okay.
Because you're paying the $3 million extra anyway.
Right.
Whether he's here or not.
Right.
So is he worth $9.5 million? I think he's worth it. Now, I think a lot of that depends on physical. You know, he's got to be able to, they have to know that he's healthy.
He's not kneeling on whatever that contraption he is and wheeling himself around.
The ankle scooter?
Yeah, I kind of like that thing.
But I think he's here.
Only Ty Law can make that look cool.
I think there's so, players like Ty Law, especially at that position, are so few and far between in this league.
Yep.
Ty Law.
Although, I mean, the other side of that coin is they won. They won without him. You know what I mean?
It's hard to argue against.
It's hard, but, I mean, do you want to go into a season with so many, you know, new defensive coordinator and question marks and... If you can have an all-pro, you have him.
Yep. All right, Gerald writes in, and he's got a little bit of a different take. He says, I just don't see New England winning on Sunday. I've been listening to your rhetoric for a week now, and I can hear the nervousness in the way you guys are talking. The Eagles, along with their fans, who will outnumber New England fans by a 2-1 margin at Alltel Stadium, and are much more confident and sure of themselves than the Patriots. New England thinks this will be a cakewalk. Well, you guys better know better than anyone that this is the wrong way to approach the game. Well, wait a minute. First he says we're nervous. Now he says we're saying it's going to be a cakewalk.
I'm nervous. So which way is talking it? To a couple of people.
Anyway, he's saying Eagles 27, Patriots 10. By the way, where the heck is the city of New England anyway? I would bet the house, if you took a survey of 100,000 people across the country, only 500 would actually know what state the Patriots play in.
Who cares? Who's that from?
Eagles fan, obviously. That's all right. We take all opinions.
Somebody who doesn't know New England's
but
a region.
But I'm just a little confused. He says we're nervous and we're not sure of ourselves, unlike the Eagles fans, but then he says everyone on the Pats think it's going to be a cakewalk.
And he also says that Eagles fans are going to outnumber Patriots fans 2-1. Why is that?
That might be. There Why? Might be more Eagles fans. I don't know if it'd be 2-1. Well, it's no, their first time. They're more eager to come down. They're going to make more of an effort.
Well, plus, just the neutral fan will probably be rooting for Philly because they haven't won.
Right. So,
just like I think the neutral fan rooted for New England in Super Bowl 36.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely. I was talking to a couple of the coaches today, and I'll tell you, they have some real concerns about Philly's defense.
Well, they should.
I mean.
That's a star
secondary.
That's a star pack defense.
I was told that their secondary is the best that they've seen.
I was I talked with both Brian Dawkins and Jim Johnson today, and I kind of brought up something we were talking about earlier this week on the show, the fact that how much Philadelphia's defense blitzes. And they both kind of looked at me and said, you know, we don't blitz as much as everybody thinks we do. And that was a little surprising to me because we had gotten into the conversation about their cornerbacks and do they blitz because the corners are good enough that they can do so, or do they blitz to cover up the corners? Mm-hmm. And they both kind of say, you know, we don't blitz as much as you guys think we do.
Well, they zone blitz, which isn't always bringing more men than...
We also need to, you know, as we talked about, define the blitz.
Is right.
It, you know, sending five, is it sending...
I'm not sure I buy that. I'm not sure I buy it, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Patriots putting it out there, but I...
Well, Jim Johnson has a reputation as somebody who blitzes more than any coach in the National Football League.
Right. And he'll blitz any time. I think that's the thing. Maybe it's not the frequency of the blitzes. It's that he'll blitz on any down at any time.
Which would give people the thought that, hey, this guy blitzes more than anybody. He's blitzing on this down when people normally don't blitz.
I will guarantee you that they don't blitz as much as Buffalo did against New England this year.
No.
46 snaps in one game. I mean, they blitzed on almost every single play.
I agree.
Deb Falcioni writes in, I happen to be
an avid
fan of the Patriots and have a question that I cannot seem to find the answer to. What determines who wears the away color jersey white in the Super Bowl? I know the Pats are wearing white this coming Super Bowl 39, but what or whom made that decision?
They alternate.
Yes.
The home team gets to choose.
Right. Every year they alternate who's the home team. This year the NFC team is the home team. They get to choose which color jersey they want to wear, and then that determines the other team's jersey.
So correct.
Eagles obviously chose their dark jersey, so the Patriots have to wear their white jersey. It's that
simple.
Let's see. Claude.
Are you laughing at our listeners?
Me? No.
Are you paying attention to the show?
No.
Claude from New Orleans writes in, I'm a big fan of the show. First email, I've also been a subscriber to PFW since 95.
Wow. Well,
thank you.
That's a long time.
Yeah, great job on both. I was born and raised in New Orleans, but have been a Pats fan since age 7.
Why?
In 1976. I was drawn to the red, white, and blue colors. Plus, most kids love the snow. The Pats were a good team, and Steve Grogan was my hero. I even shared this fact with him back at Super Bowl 31 at an autograph signing he was doing. He also signed my copy of the Super Bowl 20 program. I've taken my share of flack for my out-of-state allegiance, but it has all been worth it. I think the Pats will win Sunday 31-20 and will continue to contend for championships each year for the foreseeable future. Thanks for allowing me to contribute to your great show. Keep up the good work. Claude in New Orleans.
Claude, thanks for contributing.
Thanks for contributing, and we wish we were in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And thanks for subscribing.
Probably the most subtle stab at Jacksonville I've heard this week.
Jacksonville. It's not that bad.
Jacksonville, you're almost to Miami.
The city that
Michael Felger was just going off on a rant.
Ripping
the people that they're all in slow motion, get a life and go do something, he's, like just going off.
He said, I don't care if they're nice. I want efficiency. I want service.
You know, well, no, it's definitely, I mean, in the South, there's no question. I know it's like a stereotype, but pace is definitely slower. Yeah.
You know, I'm very convinced that if...
We're very uptight.
As long as the Super Bowl isn't held in Las Vegas or New Orleans or somewhere like that, if it's in a mid-major city like this, that people are going to complain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. People want it nice, tight, fun.
People complained when it was in San Diego. I mean, San Diego, it's like the weather's perfect every
day. Yeah, I heard somebody tell me that was the best place.
I'm sure it is.
That's better than...
Well, I like New Orleans. Just you walk everywhere. That's what is good about...
Yeah. Go out the hotel room. Block right, block left, and you're on Bourbon Street.
I would think fans get bored of us talking about what's the good Super Bowl city.
Probably.
I think they do. I think you're right.
Mac in Somerville, who do you anticipate will be the short yardage fullback for the Patriots on Sunday? Do you think Seymour is healthy enough to renew his duties as a blocking back, or will it be somebody else? Good question.
Could be the Hoker?
That is a good question.
If he plays, does he go back to that fullback position?
I wouldn't.
I would guess that he doesn't.
So who is it, the Hoker?
Yeah, Hoker.
It's got to be Hoke.
That's who it's been, right?
Yeah. Well, he's been the extra tight end, kind of that role of whatever.
Isn't there somebody else in the backfield?
Rabib Abdullah? Yeah.
I think it's Holstein who's definitely taken over Seymour's role at the short yardage.
He pass. I like him.
All right. Let's take a break right now, Dave Dudek, and when we come back, more of your emails, and there's a lot of them.
The New England Revolution have scored a lot of goals since kicking off their inaugural season.
Joe Maxwell, he's clear!
Rebs are about to score one more. 2005 marks the Revolution's 10th season in Major League Soccer. To celebrate a decade of soccer and thank their loyal fans, the Rebs are rolling back season ticket prices to match its inaugural season. Season tickets for 2005 are priced just as they were in 1996. Start at just $9 each ticket and are on sale now. The Revolution appreciate the fans of New England and their 10-year commitment to the team. And with the price of everything else going up, the Rebs want to help you save. Center Circle season tickets for 2005 are priced just as they were in 1996. Start at just $9 each ticket and are on sale now. To order season tickets at a great savings, call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. Get your tickets. Get your kicks.
Score!
And get the Revolution.
And the Revolution victory is complete.
DirecTV is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots 2005 Divisional Playoffs. Congratulations on a successful season and best of luck for a repeat. Don't forget to sign up for DirecTV DVR with TiVo service so you can record the playoff games, watch the running back bust one up the middle on live TV, record the QB's interview on another channel, read the coach's lips in 100% digital picture and sound, pause while the pizza guy's at the door, see a 40-yard field goal in super slow-mo, or watch an instant replay of the wide receiver's touchdown catch. Sign up now and get a DirecTV DVR for under $50 after a $50 mail-in rebate from DirecTV, plus 3 months of HBO and Cinemax free. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or see your local retailer for details. Just activate HBO and Cinemax with your annual commitment to any Total Choice programming package. Offer ends 2/28/05. Hardware, programming, and DVR service sold separately. New customers only. Restrictions apply.
I'd like to talk to you about a new checking account with unrivaled convenience. It's called Fleet Access Checking, and it's available free with direct deposit. But it's more than just free checking. It has no minimum balance requirement, and you'll enjoy free bill payment with free online banking. And if your check card is ever lost or stolen and used, just report it promptly and you're protected. Fleet Access Checking offers unlimited transactions at the largest network of ATMs and branches in the Northeast. And now, because we're part of Bank of America, Fleet Access Checking also includes free access to your cash at the Bank of America ATM network. Together, that adds up to over 16,000 ATMs coast to coast and unparalleled convenience. In the near future, Fleet branches will take on the Bank of America name, giving you access to even more banking products and benefits than ever before. Fleet Access Checking is the checking account that stands alone. To open an account, visit any Fleet branch. Member FDIC.
And welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred Kurt, Frank Paddock, Andy Hart, and Brian Morey.
Sort of.
Dave Dudek comes up with some actually good information. For once.
Now, we're sure Gary, this isn't a by the way, 20 years ago?
Gary looks in like he's in disbelief.
Why?
That Dudek came out.
Well, he actually reminds us that the winner of the Pro Bowl now determines who the home team is of the next year's Super Bowl.
So the NFC won the Pro Bowl last year?
I guess.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a pretty big leap of faith here to take Team Dudek's word. No,
that's true.
I'm the dude.
I remember that.
You know what, though? Dudeness.
Because it's about something like the Pro Bowl, which really doesn't matter at all to anyone, and Duder knows, plus that kind of makes me think that
sure he Googled it. No, that was actually a random football fact that I knew. Oh, boy. Then I really don't trust
one
it.
Of a few.
You know, you're not confusing it with baseball, right?
No.
Okay.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 904-940-6569. 904-940-6569.
Yeah!
Corey from Fairhaven, Vermont says, I've been hearing that the practice field for the Pats have been a little slippery. Do you think this will affect the preparation for the Super Bowl, or is it a non-factor?
Tom Brady doesn't seem to be happy with it,
no?
Affecting the timing in the passing game.
I think it's definitely a factor. I mean, you're looking at your preparations being slowed down.
I mean, they talked about wearing longer cleats. Bill talked about kind of playing more with their feet underneath them so they, you know, didn't slip down. But I want them, you know, all out, you know, going into their breaks full speed and timing and everything. And if that gets off, you combine that with, as Brian says, you know, maybe one of the best secondaries they've faced. I don't think you want that. It's not ideal conditions.
Wouldn't you
plus the crown of the field.
Plus the crown
Altel
of the field.
Field is very high crown.
Wouldn't you love to have access to one of the pool reporters so you can kind of get see it yourself so you can get access to the field and see what it's really like?
Yeah. See if they're complaining about nothing or if it's really...
I know... Anyway,
Dudek.
Andy Reid spoke about this a little bit this morning, that their field was really wet too, and if somebody asked if it was going to be a detriment to Owen's progress this week in practice if the field conditions aren't that bad, and he goes, you know what, actually it's kind of a good thing. We wanted to see how it would react and not
he slips
perfect
a little,
field
right.
conditions.
Because the field the other day, as Fred said, looked really nice at Altel Stadium.
Yeah.
I was sitting with Brian Daboll and Jeff Davidson today, and when it started to rain,
when it sounded like they were Uzi shooting the tent?
Yeah, it started to rain, and Davidson turned around and said, oh, no, they already uncovered the field.
Oh, boy.
So it's something definitely, it's not like just some pretend issue that they're
It's in their heads.
Out.
That's not good.
And they don't have an indoor facility, right? Because I saw the Eagles, their option was the college's, like, gymnasium. Hard floor, no lines, I saw.
And the gymnasium must not be much of an option, because Reed chose to practice outdoors yesterday in the rain. He said there's no hash marks inside. It's a hardwood floor.
Right.
It's there, but I don't think they
want
to
use it. Do the Patriots have an option? Probably not.
I don't think so, no.
Well, I guess that high school probably has a gym also, but...
All right.
Clearly not what you're looking for in preparing for an outdoor game.
Scott from Washington, D.C., I heard Brady's grandmother passed away.
Yes.
How is he doing? Our condolences go out to him and his family. So...
He was asked about it in the press conference. I was kind of far away, but he basically just said... You know, and I know what's, you know, going on in California, and I'm allowing them to handle it. You know,
okay.
He's focused.
Scott says, I'm really nervous about the Philly defense. What are we going to do to attack it successfully?
Well, we can yell about it like we did yesterday. Pass, run, pass, run. Spread them out, but run. Spread them out, but pass. A lot of options. I'm sure one of them is good.
Well, I can tell you about what Philadelphia is thinking. The two things that I've heard, I talked to Jeremiah Trotter, Jim Johnson, Brian Dawkins, and the thing they want to do first and foremost is break up the rhythm of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, they want to get all the receivers, hit them off the line of scrimmage, and kind of disrupt the passing game.
That's good. I like good physical play.
They want to stop Corey Dillon to make it one-dimensional. That's something Trotter and he said today. And Jim Johnson said the pressure that Philadelphia can put on Brady with the defensive ends in particular is crucial. And Javon Kearse.
Yeah, and just talking to Daboll today, I mean, he was raving about in the Philly secondary. You know, those safeties, he said, are really good. You know, Bill has kept bringing up the name Sheldon Brown, and Daboll did too today. He said, this guy's terrific. He's a great tackler.
Is he the Pro Bowler?
No.
Shepard's the Pro Bowler.
And, you know, so they're aggressive. I mean, this is going to be a difficult challenge for the offense.
This is the most talented team the Patriots have played this year?
I think all around, top to bottom.
Yeah, all around.
Boy, the Steelers are pretty talented.
I was going to say Steelers are really talented too.
I think the Steelers are more talented actually, top to bottom.
I don't, especially because I think you look at the quarterback and the experience, and I mean that being the most important position on the field. I think that Donovan McNabb's experience and big game experience is
a huge difference.
Brian's just preparing himself for the loss. Right. All week he's been
Brian likes the sandbag, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
What are you talking about?
Brian, I do have to agree
with
you.
He's just afraid.
God forbid I give an opinion.
He's very nervous.
It's so rare. We don't know how to react when you actually do.
I'm working on a feature on Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard and
Band of Brothers.
And Lewis, yeah. And I got to say, I'm pretty impressed with these guys to consider. They're only a year older draft class-wise than Eugene and Asante Samuel, Eugene Wilson. And for Lewis to be playing at a Pro Bowl level and the other guys to be full-time starters, and they're all back there together with Dawkins, it is an impressive second.
I was going to say, what is, because obviously Dawkins would play the role kind of the Rodney Harrison.
Exactly.
What does he say about those guys?
He loves them. He said they spend all their time together. They remind me a lot of the way that Harrison talks about Eugene Wilson.
Scott also wants to know, when is the video game between the players from each team? Didn't Troy break the streak last year losing the video game but winning the Super Bowl? That is true. It was 8-0 and Brown lost and the Patriots won anyway. But we haven't heard anything because I guess EA Sports or 989 is no longer a company.
Well, the Madden makers, EA Sports, signed an exclusive deal with the NFL.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the specifics if that has already taken effect or not, but because we haven't heard anything, I'm assuming it has something to do with that.
Okay. And Scott finally wants to know, what nuggets you got, Frank, from sitting down with Jim Johnson? Any nuggets?
It's just what I just spoke about before in terms of stopping Brady. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about is with a quarterback who's so unflappable, especially in the playoffs, where do you start? What's the first thing you want to do? And he just said they have to put pressure on him and they have to disrupt the receivers coming off the line of scrimmage.
I think they try to do it with four-man rush, looking at the matchups of their ends against the Patriots tackles.
Javon Kearse, Brandon Gorin.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm not sure I'm happy with that matchup.
I couldn't agree more.
Daniel Graham, where are you?
I think they're plenty happy with the other defensive ends as well, along with Kearse, in the matchups the other defensive ends
have. See, that's why I want to run at them. That's why I want to run right at the defensive ends. Challenge them. Put some doubt in their mind. Take them out of their game a little bit. And I think that's a way to defend that rather than just saying, Brandon Gorin, you need to stop Javon Kearse, because I don't think Brandon Gorin can win that matchup.
Look at what the Patriots did against the Steelers, though. You saw a lot of times that a guy like Danny Graham would stay in and help the tackles out, and there were routes where there's only two receivers out on the field. Like, I think the touchdown to Deion Branch, the 60-yarder, was a route where only Givens and Branch were the only two receivers out, and they still made it successful. So.
Right.
I think the Patriots have shown, at least in the last few weeks, that they can handle that.
But this secondary is better now.
All right. Julian writes in, first of all, he sends out his condolences and prayers to Tom Brady and his family, the loss of his grandmother. He says, I'm getting pumped up and hyped for the Super Bowl. It's hard to relax. I probably have just as much excitement in my veins as the player themselves. I want to get my mind away from the usual questions and get ahead of myself by asking a coordinator question. Do you guys have a hypothesis about who might step into the coordinator positions? Do the coaches that are going to fill the voids left by Romeo and Charlie look to come from internal ranks or by a personal association of Bill? So we don't know. I mean, it's.
I think Eric Mangini will be the defensive coordinator.
You think it's him?
I do too.
I think that Bill Belichick will be the offensive coordinator.
You don't think they'll hire an offensive coordinator?
I don't know who, so that's what I'm going with. I'm not necessarily sold that one of these guys that's on the staff now is going to get promoted. I have no idea. We've looked into this. Right when Charlie announced he was leaving, we looked into this and came up with our, educational guesses, educated guesses, rather, on who it might be. Excuse me. I think it's a shot in the dark.
Brian, would you be shocked if they went outside the organization to get an offensive coordinator based on the fact that they would...
But I think it's somebody that Bill will have a previous relationship with.
Right. Whoever comes in is coming in to run the system.
The system that's currently in place.
Right.
And I'm wondering what kind of offensive coordinator wants to come in and not be able to run what he wants to run.
Yeah.
It'd take a special relationship with Bill to pull that
off. I think an offensive coordinator always runs what the head coach wants to run, though.
But usually they're...
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, it depends.
I think that's why you see a lot of butting of heads.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
But what happens... I mean, everybody says Jeff Davidson, for example. Well, what happens if Bill Belichick doesn't say Jeff... I mean, does that change the dynamic of the coaching staff at all?
Well, and what happens
does
is...
Does he feel like it was a slap in the face?
What happens...
I'm ready to be the offensive coordinator, and you come in and hire... Or you don't... You bring no one in and take the job yourself.
That's a great point. And what happens if some of the assistant coaches or position coaches go...
with Romeo Crennel, right, wherever he may
Pepper
end up.
Johnson, you know, was guy rumored to potentially.
Right. I mean, that could change the structure of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next email says he's a native to Jacksonville. I'm very excited to have both New England and Philadelphia here for the Super Bowl. I have only one concern. Lots of players seem to have concerns about it being cold. New England and Philadelphia are both states that are experiencing even colder weather than Jacksonville. What's the problem?
No, they're not talking about, like, playing cold. They're talking about media day. I'm supposed to be out in the sunshine cold.
Colder than they expected cold.
Right. It's Florida. That's what all of them basically have said. It's Florida, but we brought the weather with us from New England.
Although I got to tell you, when I just walked out of the media tent there, it was beautiful. The sun was out. It's
poured an hour earlier.
It's as good as it's been all week right now.
Isn't it supposed to reach over 60 today?
I have no clue.
I don't know, but I saw my breath when I was walking to the press conference.
All right, Sandeep writes in, I have been watching the Super Bowl coverage on Patriots.com and sometimes on ESPN. I'm sure I'm not alone when I say most of the guys covering the Super Bowl don't have a clue about what they're talking about. Here are some examples. One, Troy Brown is not a two-way player. He's a three-way player. Two, Patriots didn't get lucky when Bledsoe got injured, facilitating Brady's emergence. Bledsoe would have been replaced very soon anyway. Remember, BB replaced Bernie Kosar in Cleveland, and they made the playoffs that year. The Pats might not have been in three out of the last four Super Bowls, but they would have still been the dominant team they are today, with appearing in at least two of the last four Super Bowls. Three, enough of the T.O. talk. And four, can someone superglue Michael Irvin's lips? Thanks for letting me vent, and thanks for being objective in your analysis on PFW Radio.
What did Michael Irvin do?
That's funny, because I've seen so little of that stuff this week.
Which stuff?
Oh, sorry, guys.
Why, we're used to it by now.
Hello? What? All right, Jim.
Hey, Ella.
Roanoke, North Carolina. Yesterday, I sent you the email below, and you were wondering about the Patriots. What made me a Patriots fan back in 75 when I was a native of Southern Virginia and Northern North Carolina? The first time I sat down and got interested and watched football was a game my dad had on, and the Patriots were playing a team they should not be able to beat. I've always pulled for the underdog, and Jim Plunkett led the underdog Patriots to a victory that day. That made me start following the team and looking for games that may be televised. The next few years, the team had some good seasons, and I was hooked for the duration. So there you go. It's, you know, it's what happens early in life that molds you.
That's very true. You can't get away from, even if you try and you make an effort to, you always go with what you were a fan of as a youth.
Okay.
It's kind of weird, though, that the Patriots, I mean, you don't think of them as a real national team back then, even though they were some of their best teams there in the 70s, a team that rushed for, what, 3,000 yards? And
right.
But you don't think of them as like a Steelers or a Cowboys or a Niners that people would root for.
All right, let's do some over-unders. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian, you still with the show?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I can multitask, Fred.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not well. over-under, Patriots rushing yards, 140.
Over.
Under.
Brian? Brian's not talking now.
He's sulking, staring Fred down.
Brian, Patriots rushing yards, over under 140.
Yes.
Over, right?
Yes.
Westbrook receptions, 5.5.
Yes.
Over.
Over?
Over.
Okay. T.O. receptions, 3.5.
Under.
Over.
Brian?
Yes.
No, Brian, you can take your headphones off and go away if you're not going to play right.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. I can't think about two things at the same time. Sorry.
That's right.
Over.
Baby.
Over.
Over? Okay. McNabb rushing yards, 40. Over or under?
Under. Over.
Over.
Under.
Okay. Percentage of Patriots fans who will wear shorts to the game regardless of the temperature, 25%.
Under.
Over.
That's the easiest of the day. Over.
Over. Okay.
No way.
Number of sacks plus number of tackles plus sacks for Richard Seymour, 3.5.
Under.
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 Okay. Brady interceptions, 0.5.
Over.
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 Really? Okay. McNabb interceptions, 1.5.
Over.
Over.
Oh, okay.
Over.
All right. Patriots time of possession, 33 minutes.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Okay. Number of Philly wide receivers who leave the game due to injury, 0.5.
Under. Over.
Under.
Okay.
How? T.O. counts.
Uniform
right?
Number of first Patriots to score, 27.5.
What?
So is it Dylan or a wide receiver or you know?
Well, it's at 27.5.
Take the over.
Do you think he meant 28.5?
Because Dylan's 28.
Yeah, because this is easy over. I mean, who's below 27.5?
Well, Brady could run it in.
Wow. Antoine, I mean, Randall Gay could scoop up a fumble and score.
I guess. Yeah,
Samuel could take one to the house.
Uniform number of first Patriots to score a TD, 80.5.
Oh. Wow. Very, very good. Okay. You're idiots.
Tricky.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going with under.
What was the number
on the first
one?
80.5 score a TD.
Under? I'm going with under on both.
Okay.
I'm going with under on both.
As am I.
Okay. Number of PFW staff who will visit a gentleman's club at least once this week, 0.5.
Over.
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 And finally.
But it's just barely over.
And finally, the probability that BB's hoodie
that's a good point.
Gets filled up with ice and Gatorade on Sunday, 50%.
Over.
Over.
Push.
Push. There's no ties in
over.
The Super Bowl.
Over.
But it just shows you, I don't think any of us agreed or any of you agreed on any of these.
Right.
Which, you know, it's...
You got two good teams. Should be some disagreement. Should be some doubt.
It's going to be a tough game.
Makes it more interesting.
Right.
Steve from Hanover, Pennsylvania.
How
two
doing,
questions.
Steve?
How many years are left in Law's contract?
Uno.
Two, because of what happened with Law and the Patriots last offseason, do you trade him for draft picks because of the secondary success without his presence?
You can't trade him for draft picks. I mean, unless you... No one's going to take the $9.5 million.
Trading you know? Champ Bailey is one thing. At how old is Champ? 26?
Mm-hmm.
Trading a 30-year-old cornerback who makes that much money is a totally different story.
Right. Exactly. And wasn't Champ Bailey, wasn't his contract up or something?
I think so.
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact details of Champ Bailey, but Ty Law's not getting traded for draft picks. If the Patriots want to get rid of Ty Law, teams are going to force them to cut him. They're not going to just give him something for him.
Exactly.
Cut me, Lou.
Hey, Swig sends us an email.
What up, Swig?
Hey.
I won't be around tomorrow, so I wanted to get in a letter. So here it is. Sunday, the Super Bowl, and my question to you is, do you guys ever take a moment to realize what you've been part of? I work with a lot of celebrities. I was in a band for years. I'm not impressed with famous people. But 10, 20 years from now, if this is looked upon as one of the great runs of any professional sports team, will you get a warm, fuzzy glow reflecting on how closely you were involved? If it weren't for you, a lot of us wouldn't have the access to the team we now have. For those of us who don't live in New England anymore, for some of us stuck at home recovering from surgery, the work you do makes the days go along a bit smoother. It's been a great run. It's been fun. Thanks for all your work. Go Pats. P.S. I don't have a Pats credit card, but if I can outlift Andy, can I be a writer for a day?
Guys, how you doing? I'm a big fan.
No, I think about it all the time. I mean, you know, what the Patriots are doing are being talked about and will be talked about for years to come. Like, people talk about the Green Bay Packers in the 60s and, you know, and the Steelers of the 70s, and here we are.
I have no idea. I mean, 10 years from now, I think I would look back at this time in Patriots history as a fan fondly, regardless of my connection to it. I'm sure it will mean something extra, you know, being that you were here and part of it and all that. You'll have great memories to go with it.
I almost think it changes it. It lessens it, though. It's like you lose the big picture, like the big, ooh, wow, Super Bowl, because for me, the Super Bowl was getting up, going to a press conference, sitting at my laptop, going to bed, getting up, going to a press conference, sitting. You know what I mean? You lose some of the pomp and circumstance and confetti of the whole experience.
No, I understand.
I think that's an outstanding email. The thing that made the email made me think of was the fact that, you know, we're not that impressed by being around celebrities either.
Right.
You know, I got to say Terrell Owens or Donna McNabb, great. But I think it's the magnitude of the event that makes it most memorable for me.
Well, yeah, especially when you start to think about, like, it's broadcast in 80 countries or, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people watching, and it's
you know,
it's
and
a big
what,
deal.
What Swig's talking about is all our emailers and callers are getting to find out kind of what's going on basically behind the scenes, a lot of it, and we're kind of the conduit of information for them, and I almost have to take a step back.
Serious stuff.
JJ from Nashville, Tennessee. Don't take the injury report so seriously. You know Bill Belichick uses the report as just one more tool in a strategic arsenal to get inside the heads of the opponents. Brady was on the list all year and didn't miss one game, but on the flip side, just because a guy is not on the list doesn't mean he will be on the field either. This is the coaching genius that strategically benches and or cuts players from the roster to get them in line, and it works. Ken Walter, Bethel Johnson, etc. My take, Seymour plays, Patriots win, viva la Pats. So
I pretty much agree with that email.
He's not from France, though. But
Tennessee, same thing.
Okay. Just a reminder, at the other side of the hour, we're going to be talking with Dave Spadaro from Eagles. He runs their website.
From Eagles?
From Eagles.
And he runs their website and team newspaper. What's it called? Eagles Digest?
I think so, yeah.
I may have one somewhere.
Actually, I have one in my bag.
So we'll be talking to him. Todd Porter writes in, the top 10 things I've learned from PFW in progress this week.
Uh-oh.
10.
I love
Andy
these.
Hart can say penis because it's genetic. 9.
Who's this from, Scott?
No, it's from Todd Porter. 9. Eating at Chinese Takey Audi is considered a night of culture in Jacksonville. 8. Bathing in sulfur water has only improved Dave Dudek's chance of scoring with the ladies.
Wait, that's to suggest that Dave Dudek's been bathing.
Right. Based on that.
Oh, by the way, a couple people in that availability today had some serious BO.
Media players?
No, media. One guy was from, like, Mexico or another, and another one was and another one was a New England scribe who I'll tell you his name after the show.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Which paper is he from?
I'm not saying.
Come on.
7.
Initials?
In a Saddam Hussein-like move, Fred Kirsch orders a sick Brian Morey to shake hands, talk close to, and spit at every Philadelphia Eagles player he sees. 6. After a week of driving around Jacksonville, no one is really sure if they have been to Jacksonville. 5.
That's so true.
Yeah. The new girl on PVN is a hottie.
Whoa!
4.
Alicia!
She's not real impressed, by the way.
This is an emailer. The new girl on PVN is a hottie.
Jackpot.
Jackpot.
4. If you snub Andy Hart, he will hate you forever.
Andy Hart mad.
3. Plagiarism is bad. 2. This game can't come fast enough.
Oh, hey.
1. Paul and Gary are the A-team.
Hey.
Hey!
Andy Hart mad!
Who said that? Screw you, Todd.
Todd, you suck.
By the way, Todd, Andy now has a grudge against
That's
you.
That's right. You're dead to me.
That was a good one. Craig,
the last one.
Craig from Cornell here. And you notice that anyone named Craig has to, you know,
clarify that they're not Craig.
Right.
Well, now that Craig from Carolina has a job, he's off the face from
Cornell University?
I don't know. It just says Cornell.
I would assume.
All right. Cornell, New York. There's a Cornell, New York. Anyway, he says one reason that Seymour's presence is important that I think has been overlooked is that it gives Jarvis Green a breather, and that helps keep Green fresh and makes his speed rush more effective. Will they line up Seymour at fullback this weekend? We talked about that. We don't think so. But it's good to have fresh greens with every meal.
Yes.
No question.
In every game.
Yes. All right, Dave Dudek, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll put in a call to the Eagles and try to talk to Dave Spadaro.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans.
He's gonna go!
It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
And the Patriots win in overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Rams are throwing snow.
In playoff wins in the cold, the snow, and a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the 2-DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, Patriots.com, and participating Stop and Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and portable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts, bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary, limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with a Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
And here we are back at the Team Hotel in beautiful St. Augustine, Florida. The home this week of the New England Patriots, AFC champs, as they get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 39. Fred Kirsch, Ryan Morey, Indy Hart, Frank Taddick on the board. Dave Dudek efforting a call into Dave Spadaro of the Eagles. That's not completed yet, so we'll continue taking your emails and calls if you wish to call at 904-940-6569. That's 904-940-6569. And the email address again, webradio@patriots.com. We got a lot of emailers. Want to thank everyone for listening throughout the week and emailing in and going to patriots.com and reading all the stuff, all the articles by these guys and the PVN shows by Bob Doyle and Brian Lowe and Bob Heim and Alicia Mullen. And if you're Chinese, reading the Chinese stuff by Tian He. Who?
He.
Right. And all the other stuff. We're going
where
to the bulletin
he?
Board, the chat room. We've got a lot of stuff going on Patriots.com.
Where's he at?
I don't know where
he at?
I don't know where he is.
Who?
He.
Who?
He.
Who?
He.
All right. Jim from Roanoke Rapids says, Ty Law was on NFL Live last night. He was asked about if he would be back next year, and he said he is still a Patriot and would like to remain a Patriot, but if not, he thinks some other team will get a good player.
But if not, I never want to put on that jersey again, and I hate them.
He said he is helping the guys who are playing with tips on how to cover some of the players he has played against in the past.
See? Brian, I'm calling him a bad leader.
One note from the press conference.
Didn't say he was a bad leader.
Yesterday, Fred, I didn't get a chance to pass this along, but Curtis Martin spoke for just a couple brief minutes on the stage yesterday after the awards. He thinks the Patriots are going to win.
Really?
And he thinks that a win on Sunday puts them into dynasty status.
Okay.
So, let's see. We have Bill Belichick saying if they win, they're a dynasty. We have Curtis Martin saying if they win, they're a dynasty. And we have Fred Kirsch saying, nope, they're not a dynasty.
Whose opinion should we value more?
I stick with what I say.
Boomer Esiason also picked the Patriots.
Well, the Boston Celtics think all those numbers should be in the rafters, and I disagree.
I disagree, too.
Actually,
well,
so
you don't value the Celtics' opinion?
Obviously, I don't.
Okay. Then.
But as an organization, they think they should be there.
Right.
But if you asked Red Auerbach, I mean, I don't know. Does he want him up there?
He's the one that
a basketball
approved them all.
Legend?
He was the president of the Celtics.
How many straight championships did they win? Was it 8 or 9?
Oh, God. It was 10, I thought.
10?
No, I think they lost one.
They lost one. I think they won 9. But I think
it was nine overall.
Well, they've won 16.
No,
overall.
I mean, in that span, was it the 60s?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Were you around back then?
I was born in 61, so.
Do you remember the Celtics being really good?
No. I was not a basketball fan until, like, late 60s. I was a Knicks fan. So, because I lived.
That's
in
basketball.
Dave DeBuscher, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, Bill Bradley,
Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From?
Louisville.
No.
Oh. The U.
I don't know. North Dakota.
Oh.
Phil from
cares?
Austin. Now that Ty's injury has been determined to be more of a ligament injury than a broken bone, I'm wondering if this is the same ankle that he injured in 2003. Does anyone know?
It is not the same ankle.
Isn't it the foot?
Yeah, but it's not the same leg.
And he hurt his foot.
Yeah.
But it is the opposite side.
Right. It's not from the battery acid they were pumping into it.
Which Ron Boyd just accused him of.
Jennifer writes in,
Vrabel is more manly looking than Brady, so I can completely understand why he... What are you doing, Dave? All of a sudden, this sound completely changed my sound.
We have Dave on the line.
You have Dave Spadaro on the line. Yes. Okay, so that's why it sounds different.
I didn't do anything to your sound.
Dave, how are you?
Sounds different.
Hi, Dave. Hey, Fred, how are you?
Good. Dave Spadaro's on the line. Now, Dave, I'm trying to... tell our listeners what you do. It seems like you do everything. You're the editor of Eagles Digest, and now what do you do for Eagles.com? Are you also in charge of that site as well?
Well, I will truly say this: everybody tries to have ownership. I focus on content. The real brains of the operation is Maggie Argenbright, because she keeps me in check, and she does like more of the design concepts, the flow, and all that. But I like to do the content, and I just happen to be the guy who's on the camera and do some of the writing. Chris McPherson, Bob Kent also do the writing
okay.
a lot, and so we all just everybody does everything. But I hear what you're saying; it's got my name on it.
So one of the things that we're all interested in, because of the way we're structured, our newspaper, Patriots Football Weekly, is owned by the team, and
yep.
you know we're employees of the team. Is that the case with Eagles Digest?
Yes. Eagles Digest is the team newspaper, okay? And then there's also PhiladelphiaEagles.com, which is the granddaddy of them all for me. Eagles Digest I've been covering the Eagles for 16 years, and it is a Philadelphia Eagles property. So, yeah, I work for the Eagles.
So then one of the issues that we always have to deal with is, you know, objectivity and how we write about the team. And we try to be fair and objective, you know, to a point. Obviously, we're not going to try to break news and cause trouble for the team, but, you know, if the team stinks, we have to write that. What's your sort of editorial policy over there? How do you deal with that?
You know, Fred, I think you'll laugh at this, because it's so much easier to be fair, quote-unquote, fair and objective when your team is 11-5 and 12-4. It never stinks. So with Andy Reid, it has been a true blessing that the Eagles have been really, you know, good every year until the NFC Championship game the last 3 years previous to this. So, yeah, we're very positive. We try to entertain. We try to tell it. I mean, I can't sit there and say to an Eagles fan that everything's okay if the team's playing horrible football. So, yeah, there is a degree of that. But, you know, it's just like Eagles fans are so hungry for everything that they just eat it all up, and it's fun. We try to keep it fun. Fun is the key word.
Well, it's interesting, because our fans, if they even sniff that we're sugarcoating something, we hear about it. I mean, that's probably the second biggest thing we'll hear about. The first thing is if they get their paper late in the mail. That's the first thing.
Eagles. How long has Patriots News Weekly been around?
Since 95.
Since 95. Okay, we're 89, and it's really very interesting.
Yeah.
You guys put a lot of your efforts to, you know, to the newspaper and the website. I think the great thing about it is that not only are the football, and I really mean this, not only are the football teams the two best in the NFL, but the Eagles and the Patriots understand how to play the media side from a team perspective.
Oh, absolutely, and I think it starts from the top down. You might agree. You know, Robert Kraft
absolutely.
And Jeffrey Lurie, these are the new guys. These are the guys who get it. And would you agree with that?
But here's the thing, and I am not criticizing, but I really openly wonder, how come Daniel Snyder isn't like that? He's one of the new guys, too.
Because I don't think he's willing to listen to other people.
That could
He'll
be.
Learn.
I don't know. I don't work with him. I don't know that, but, you know.
He'll learn.
Yeah, but, dude, come on.
I know. I know. It seems like he hurts his – although, you know, they're the top revenue team in the NFL, and they're worth the most. So, in that way, he's done a good job. But, you know, I hear what you're saying. It's just like he's almost counterproductive to anything public relations-wise that the team does.
Okay, enough of loving each other here. Let's tell us why the Eagles are going to win Super Bowl 39.
Why are the Eagles going to win Super Bowl 39? I think the Eagles – I know the Eagles are going to win Super Bowl 39 because I just think this is a really, really good football team that's going to play a really good football game. And heck, I mean, I've never. You guys have the Super Bowl experience, but I'm of the belief that the team that plays the best in the game, all this stuff that we do beforehand is nothing more than just having fun and generating hype, and nobody knows. But the teams match up really, really well, and I just think the Eagles are going to play better that day.
Dave, what would you say to someone who would say that the Eagles are just the cream of a lower class conference, that, you know, the Patriots, Steelers, Colts?
You mean like you?
Yeah, like me. that the Patriots, Steelers, Colts are you know, better teams in the NFC, and the NFC had a down year, and you had 8-8 type playoff teams, and that the Eagles are basically the only dominant team in that conference, and, you know, maybe we don't know how good they are because they haven't really been tested. You know, you play the AFC, you go 2-2, have some struggles there. What would you say to that argument?
I would say that they are the cream of a wheat crop, and the thing about it that's cool, the Eagles beat people by, they were beating teams by 10 points, 12 points, 14 points, blowouts.
My argument exactly, Dave.
That's what you do when you play, you know, teams that aren't nearly as good as you. So have the Eagles been tested in games? Well, let's see. The Steelers were a test, and they just
failed
after crushing you guys.
Right.
I remember sitting with Peter King at halftime of that game, and he looked down and he said, the way the Steelers are playing these last two games, nobody in the league could ever come within a touchdown of them.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's not what you've done to get to this point. In a sense, it is. It's about what you're going to do in the game. And I believe that the Eagles are going to just play the game. I mean, it's a really good football team. It's a really, really good, solid football team. And the Patriots are too. I love it. It should be a great Super Bowl.
Dave, I got a chance to talk to Dorsey Levins today, and he, you know, having been through the Super Bowl process before, he told me that he can't. This team is beyond ready. That they stepped off the plane and they are ready. Having been around the team all season, do you get that sense as well?
Yeah, it's definitely a different feel around the locker room than it has ever been, and it started from the jump. As soon as the Eagles, I believe this, that the whole key, obviously, to everything was, after the depression of losing to Carolina, it was, you know, 6 weeks later, and boom, the Eagles had Javon Kearse and Terrell Owens was on the way, and everybody was like, "Who cares about what we did before? Look at this team we have now." And it's been that way. And it comes from Yesto and Kearse is a great. It's Donovan. Donovan has just come so far, and so yeah, you're ready to play football, but you have to go through all this. And I really do have an incredible amount of appreciation and understanding, I guess is a better word, of the distract. When they talk about the distractions, all the media, it's intense. I can't believe how much media access there is that we go to and just kind of sit around and walk around and are overwhelmed by the number of media and the repetition of the questions. And
that's what gets me.
Oh, the player, but the media have to do it because you can only get to the players. Everybody's got to get their camera shot. Everybody's got to do their thing.
It only bothers me during the coach's press conference because I understand that these guys, you know, that the Jacksonville paper or the Houston paper hasn't written about Troy Brown playing defense
right
this year. But when you're in the press conference and day after day,
exactly,
15 minutes with the head coach,
yep,
and somebody asks about Troy Brown playing defense, it's like, you know, do some research.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we only have so many questions here. It's very limited. And we're going
right
to ask a repetitive one? Come on.
Dave,
but that's because they're now on NFL Network and everybody wants to have their somebody to call from home and say, "Yeah, it's like on NFL Network."
Dave,
I
got a chance
about that. No one gets it at my opinion.
I got a chance to talk with Corey Simon and Jeremiah Trotter today as well, and these guys seem to be a little ticked off. I don't know how else to say it, that everybody wrote them off after Terrell Owens got hurt, and that they're using this to be a hungrier team this week at least.
Words. You know, that's, you talk about stories. Yes. That was definitely a theme early. There was a sense of, as soon as Teal got hurt, there was the sense of, hey, the Eagles could really be in trouble. You know, that's kind of a natural thing to write. Nobody knew what to expect, but the players used that as another rallying cry. And I just think that, you know, Trotter is one of those guys who, he looks for any little edge that he can find emotionally. And it's such an emotional team, and that's the little peg that people, because it did get a little bit intense. I mean, there was a portion of the response after Teal got hurt that the Eagles are cooked, and so they took offense to that. And to be able to go through the NFC playoffs without Terrell Owens, A, you know, shows you how good the Eagles team is, and won convincingly both games, shows you how good it is against teams that just, you know, I mean, if you threw Atlanta in the AFC, how far would they have gone in the playoffs?
That's the question. That's what I think. It's hard. That's why it's hard to gauge teams like Atlanta because, you know, of some of the other teams in the NFC. You know, that's the earlier question we asked. But speaking of T.O., I have a question for you. Definitely. I can't figure out with what he's doing whether or not he's putting himself before the team or he's doing it for the team. What's your sense?
My sense is that he wants to help the Eagles win a championship because he's never won one. And he's in his life, he's never won a championship. And he wants to come back and win a championship. And so he's doing everything he can to get back. Now, if the coaches deem him unable through a week of practice to produce and they still play him, I mean, that's a really tough call. If you see that T.O. is not playing at a level high enough to help your team, it's your responsibility that he doesn't play. If you see him making these great strides in practice at a high tempo, playing well, then your responsibility is to still help your team and get him the ball. But I really think that nobody can possibly know what it's going to be like for T.O. when the game starts. How will he react? What kind of endurance will he have? What kind of condition is he in?
Right.
I'm very hopeful that he can play and play well. And I think he's doing it because he wants to win the Super Bowl.
Dave,
not because he wants to be the national headline guy.
Dave, if this unfolds how you clearly think it's going to, and we've been through this, obviously, New England a few years ago, what is this this championship going to mean to Philadelphia and the wait and just kind of getting over the hump?
Well, it's different than that. The Eagles got over the hump last week, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got over the hump. But to win it would send the kind of jolt through the city of Philadelphia, through Eagles fans everywhere. It would be delirium. It would be way more than, you know, it would be pandemonium, delirium, and the most wonderful feeling in anybody's life. That's really what it is.
In Boston, like, the mayor is put out all these warnings to bars, you know, about not serving too much alcohol to college kids, and the police will be out in force, you know, to, you know, stop any sniff. Is Philadelphia going through the same type of exercises?
I don't know. I think not that I'm aware of. Nothing that's been made public proclamations. It's kind of an understood thing. The Eagles fans were very, very well behaved after beating the Falcons and getting to the Super Bowl.
That it was too cold to do anything.
Well, but yeah, and true, but it was also like expected. I mean, that's one thing. That's one reason why I think the Eagles are going to play so well is because, I mean, it was 10 minutes after it was over, after beating the Falcons, it was like, okay, this is great. Let's get back to work and win the Super Bowl because that's the only thing that really matters. Philadelphia would be, guys, it would be incredible for Philadelphia, which has this insane we're going to lose attitude. It would change the whole culture of the city, I really think.
With that workmanlike attitude, you know, some of the talk around here is, you know, Bill Belichick likes to put his game plan in over the course of the 2 weeks, and they build a little bit in the first week, have some time off, and then, you know, try to peak right at game time on Sunday. But, you know, in reading some things out of Philly, you know, I guess Andy pretty much had the game plan in last week. Is there any question of them, you know, peaking too soon and, you know, kind of fading as this week goes on?
It's a good question, and it's something we'll have to measure on Sunday. I think there are many things that you can ask me that, yes, is it a concern? I don't think it's a concern, but, you know, it's something the Eagles have to make sure they don't do. Got to play. The task is so formidable that the Eagles have to play at a 100% game. So, yeah, the idea is that you play the 100% game, and if you don't, it's going to be really hard to beat the Patriots. If you play a 100% game, you're going to win the game.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you coming on with us, and I'm going to make you a little deal.
Okay.
If the Patriots win, I will give you Dave Dudek to work down there, our webmaster. And if the Patriots lose, I'll give you Dave Dudek to work down there.
Ah, not fair. Yeah,
not going to throw in Andy?
Right. Hey. Throw in Andy. All right. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on, and good luck.
All right, Fred.
Thanks, Dave.
See you, Dave. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, Fred.
That's Dave Spadaro from Eagles. PhiladelphiaEagles.com and Eagles Digest.
From Eagles. there's a thaw in front of it.
let's take a break and we'll be right back. We'll get right back to your emails.
It started in Foxborough with a Ty Law interception against the Titans.
He's gonna go all the way.
It included a Brady to Brown touchdown bomb in overtime at Miami.
And the Patriots win in overtime.
Teddy Bruschi's interception.
Fans are throwing snow.
In playoff wins in the cold, the snow, and a second Super Bowl victory. All part of history in the making as your New England Patriots won 21 straight games. NFL Films and the New England Patriots present 21, the two DVD set that is an absolute must for every Patriots fan. Highlights from every game during the historic streak, Bill Belichick's Belestrator, exclusive interviews and bonus features that include the NFL Films feature on head coach Bill Belichick and Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 38 ring ceremony. Watch the world champions' reactions when they receive their rings and celebrate another Super Bowl victory. 21 is available exclusively at the Patriots Pro Shop, Patriots.com, and participating Stop and Shop locations. We captured history in the making, and now you can too. Pick up 21 today.
Dunkin' Donuts brings you the Daily Latte Ritual of Stephanie Brown, motivational speaker.
Every morning, I tell the paperboy he could triple the number of people on his route. On the bus, I have all the passengers applaud for the driver. I tell the guitar player on the corner that he should be touring major stadiums. But then, around mid-afternoon, I start to drag. I'm not myself. I want everyone to fail miserably. That's when I know it's time for a Dunkin' Donuts latte. It gives me a lift, makes me feel better, and gets me back to my old self. And then once again, I want everyone to excel. I tell the hot dog vendor he should be selling steaks. I call my grandmother and encourage her to crochet a bigger and better Afghan.
Real espresso, steamed milk, made just for you. When your day needs a lift, have a latte at Dunkin' Donuts and bring yourself back.
Introducing the new cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Served warm, delicious, and portable. It's the ideal way to start your day. Dunkin' Donuts, bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary, limited time only.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with a Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home. Home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
PFW in progress, Fred Kirk, Frank Paddock, Andy Hart, Brian Morey. Want to thank Dave Spadaro from TheEagles.com joining us in Eagles Digest.
He's TheEagles.com. He adds the now.
He's been covering the team since 89.
What?
He works for Eagles and TheEagles.com.
You can find it on the wide world web.
That's the wide world of sports.
Okay.
World wide web.
But no, he's very informed. I've seen him on TV before. He's very good, and he knows his team very well, and he thinks they're going to win, and I would too if I was him. So
you think they're going to win?
No. Oh. I'm not him. I'm me. All right, let's get back.
You sound like Terrell Owens.
Let's get back.
You are who you are.
Let's get back to the emails, and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 904-940-6569, and earlier in the show we were talking about the studs and duds list. From Jacksonville.com,
yes.
I guess, and they had...
How about duds, Jacksonville?
Well, Jennifer writes, and Vrabel is more manly looking than Brady, so I can completely understand why he would be listed before Brady on a stud list. Brady just doesn't look like a stud. He's a pretty boy, not a stud. Big difference. She goes on to say, why does everyone doubt T.O. will be a factor after sitting out with the injury when Branch had a 6-catch, 105-yard, 1-TD game in his first game coming back from injury? And no offense to Dion, who I think is a great wide receiver, but he's not in the same league as T.O. He also didn't have the same injury.
Be Maury.
If T.O. is indeed ready to go, then he'll be a factor in the game. Not that it matters. The Pats will still win. Even though the Eagles' D is giving me more concern than it seems to be giving most people, I think the Pats are just the better team. The Pats win 31-27. And they had Peter King on EEI this morning, and he said he doesn't think Powers should lose his job.
Ooh.
Of course, I'm sure the Gazette thinks differently. I heard
Peter King actually called the Gazette and requested that they don't fire Ken Powell.
I do have one question.
Wow.
I have a question.
That is a nice thing.
Peter King just went way up in my book.
Yesterday regarding that whole scenario, it's only being investigated right now, correct?
Right.
Yes. Now, is there a chance someone else at the paper could be responsible for what happened and his name was on it?
Well, there's one theory possible? Out there that yeah. he had King's column downloaded as notes, mistakenly sent it to his editor, who then made some changes to make it less webby and more newspaper, to read more better for a newspaper, or better, I don't know, more better, and then that's how it got published.
I was wondering if there's a scenario but where
I can't buy that.
Where some copy editor accidentally took it, thinking it was his or something.
That would explain the changes, though, Fred. Your little, that little theory, I mean.
Right.
It would. I hope so, too.
We all know Ken, and no one who works in this profession would.
But my question
think,
is,
I
but
can't
my question is,
would think that
you but, could but, get but here's the that. Thing: right. If that's the case, what I just said, wouldn't Ken just have to say that? Why would he be suspended with pay pending the investigation?
And wouldn't he have said that after it published, like the next day, like,
right.
Oh, what's that?
Right,
like a correction.
Exactly. So,
but we don't know. Maybe we don't know what's going on in the back.
We don't know. We don't know. But everyone's in shock. Anyway, Kitty writes in, any possibility they can broadcast Sunday's game on this radio station? I'm in Arizona, and I miss Geno's play-by-play call. The other announcers are pretty awful, not just the Super Bowl, but all the games in the future. Dave, is the game going to be broadcast on our site?
Yes, the game will be available on our site, but only through NFL.com's Field Pass.
You have to pay for that?
That sounded like Kermit the Frog.
How much is that?
Thanks.
Oh, and does that give you access to Gil?
Well, yes. It gives you access to Gil and Gino, and also all the various broadcasts in different languages as well throughout the world.
So we will have the broadcast in Chinese?
Yes, Mandarin.
Well, Mandarin.
Cool. In Japanese, German, Danish, a few others.
Making me hungry.
I mean Spanish.
Spanish, too.
Brian from FIU, Brian with a Y, he says, are players on IR allowed to travel with the team, or must they pay their own way to the game? I don't recall seeing Patriots players who were on the IR at away games and on the sideline cheering on the team, except for Patton and J.J. Stokes on the sideline at the Super Bowl last year. Also, do all players and personnel who are on the Patriots payroll receive a Super Bowl ring? Players do travel on IR for the Super Bowl, but not
right.
for the other
not
games.
Regular season.
I know the practice squad players are here.
And
right.
last year, last time, not everyone received a Super Bowl ring. The first year, everyone did. I don't know what's going to happen this time.
Fred did.
But that wasn't the question.
Just saying, you got one.
I was going to say, that was kind of personal.
No, it wasn't. He got a ring.
Brian resents me.
I don't resent you.
And Fred's got a phone call.
I think it's great that you got one.
Brian resents me.
Brian goes on to say, when is that lame EA Sports Madden Challenge game? If I recall, last year, Troy Brown lost to Steve Smith and broke the trend of winners of the video game going on to win the Super Bowl. Let's hope we win both the video game and the real game. Also, how does the player get chosen to participate in that game? Although I doubt you will know the answer to that question, or maybe Maury will. Finally, who are the Patriots free agents next year, and who is a must re-sign? Well, that game isn't going on because we think that because of the new partnership.
I mean, they kind of morphed it in the question. It was 989. Now there could be some sort of Madden. I mean, they do a Madden Bowl where a ton of players compete, and they have like a celebrity Madden contest or whatever. So maybe as part of that, they will have some sort of thing now that the 989 version has been wiped out.
Did the Patriots have 989 Sports come to training camp and have the players play video games and stuff like that?
I don't think so.
Because I know in Minnesota training camp, 989 Sports would come out for like 3 or 4 days at a time, and all the players would play. And then the Super Bowl is when they would revisit that whole...
It's because that team has stars. Story. This is a team. There's no stars here.
Yeah, and apparently they don't play video games.
They used to, but it was wrestling. They had
actually,
an Olympic wrestling video game.
In this week's Sports Illustrated, there's a little video game sidebar. Eugene Wilson and might have been Hank Fraley played Madden's against each other.
Oh. Who won?
Eugene lost big. It wasn't Fraley. It was a different player. I'll come
Capital
up with
T.
it.
Does he want to know the free agents?
Sure.
Joe Andruzzi is a free agent.
Yep.
Troy Brown, I believe, will be a free agent. His cap number is $5.75 million.
Whoa, but he's not a free agent. He's under contract.
No, I know, but he's going to get cut.
We're now editorializing or the free agent list.
unless he agrees to like a massive pay cut or whatever. But Gerard Cherry, free agent. Don Davis. Christian Fourier. Brandon Gorin, I believe will be a restricted free agent. Jarvis Green, restricted. Larry Izzo.
Izzo signed a new deal during the year.
Oh, okay. My bad. Ethan Kelly, Adrian Clem, Justin Kerpikas, Patrick Pass, David Patton, and Adam Vinatieri, but I think he signed.
Did you say David Gibbons?
He's an unrestricted.
They offered him the 1 year tender in training camp.
Right. That'll be an interesting one. I think the Givens, and I agree with Brian, I think the Vinatieri one is pretty much a done deal. I think the only, as I said before, won't be hanging that up is his agent got in a little trouble. So there might be some paperwork filing type issues.
Okay. Let's see. Sandy says she's a big Patriots fan from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And she's curious how the Super Bowl tickets are distributed. How many are giveaways versus sold? Do you know what the split is? Does each NFL team or corporate sponsor get a certain number of tickets that they can resell or give away? I always thought it was pretty difficult to actually buy a ticket. It is difficult. I think the split is each team gets 17%.
The game teams that are in it.
Teams that are in it get 17%.
Yep. Yep.
Then the NFL gets 25%.
I think it's corporate sponsors
to do whatever they want with them.
And then the city of Jacksonville, Fred, they get a certain percent as well.
They get a certain percentage, and then the rest of the teams get a certain percentage. Right.
All NFL players can buy tickets.
Here's the exact breakdown. Each team in the Super Bowl gets 17.5. NFL, 25.2. The host team gets 5%, and the other 29 teams get 34.8%.
And then splits are split up, then it's up to those splits to do whatever they want with it.
Right.
Right. They can sell them, they can give them away, they can do whatever they want.
That's where it gets a little weird. That's where it gets a little weird, and tickets end up in a lot of different places, or even the players, because, I mean, players can buy there too and then sell them to a broker or somehow get rid of them. And tickets get out there in many different ways.
Yes. Greg Bell, Winnipeg, Canada, says, let's say we're tied 24-24 with 2 minutes left. Brady goes down with a leg injury. Who would you rather have leading the drive, Davey or Miller?
Miller.
But I think it would be Davey.
It would be Davey. I'll say Davey.
I'm assuming that Miller has gotten some snaps in practice.
Yes.
Yeah,
if he hasn't, then it's got to be Davey.
I talked to him last week, and he said he had been playing the role of Donovan McNabb in practice. And the week before, he said he had been doing some Peyton Manning stuff, learning the gestures. So I think more or less he's been the scout team quarterback for at least the last few weeks.
He's not ready, is he?
I think it'll be Davey.
Yeah.
I'm pretty 99% sure it would be Davey that would walk out there.
God help
I'm
us.
Not sure I'd want Davey to walk out there. I'd like him to throw a bomb. If I need to throw a bomb, I'd be more than happy to have him out there.
Remember the last game against, I forget what year it was, Patriots had a last-ditch effort. It was the final. It was a game in Foxborough, last game of the season, and the clock had screwed up, and all the teams went to the locker room.
Miami,
and
right?
After 15, 20 minutes, they had to come back out and play the final play, and they put Michael Bishop in to run around and throw a Hail Mary, and the ball barely went 30 yards.
I remember seeing that play on television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an odd game.
Yes.
I've never seen a game where the teams went to the
people were in
undressed.
Towels and stuff.
Yeah, they were in towels.
Wasn't Jed Weaver one of the guys that came out in a towel?
It was zero degrees out. They were coming out in flip-flops.
Yeah.
Because they had just gotten out of the shower. It was the craziest game, and Michael Bishop came in and threw this duck that went about 30 yards.
Yeah.
And all for that. You know, they had to come out.
His one thing.
Right.
I think we all agree that Davey would probably be the guy that does come in. Fred, who would you rather see?
Like I said, assuming that Miller's taken some snaps, I would rather see Miller.
Yeah.
I just think he's a more heady player, and he's been in live NFL action a little bit more.
A lot more.
So I'd want him doing it.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
You know, how rusty is he? That's the thing.
Davey. Right. I want Davey.
Wayne
Talk yourself into it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Wayne Brady in Denver says, today is my last day to hear you guys because it's time for my 9th annual pilgrimage to Sin City. I have an appointment with a cashier at the Stardust around 7:30 Sunday night. First, I want to thank you for all your providing us an amusing and informative season. Thanks and good luck to Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel.
Thanks to my Patriots for making football fun and exciting. Thanks for being professionals and an excellent representation of what a proud fan wants to root for. I believe the most big games, the turnovers, will once again decide the outcome of this tilt. Being biased, I see the Patriots being +2 in that department and hoisting the Lombardi Trophy once again. I respect the Eagles and understand their strengths and weaknesses. They have a very good chance of winning this game, and 7 points is about the right spread. That's why I made a wager on September 4th before the season started. That's why I'm getting 6.5 to 1 for an outright win. Patriots 24, Eagles 20. As Ricky Prohl said on February 3rd, 2002, tonight a dynasty is born, and on February 6th, 2005, a dynasty is confirmed. Just remember, Eagles fans, there's only one team that wins in February, and that's the New England Patriots. FYI, the Super Bowl in 2006 is also played in February.
They all are from now on, I think. So sooner or later, that streak's going to come to an end for the Patriots. Whether it's this year, next year, it'll come to an end.
No, it isn't.
No, because they're not a dynasty. That dynasty won't be confirmed this week, right?
In my mind, it will not.
What year could they confirm a dynasty?
2007.
By winning every year between now and then?
No.
By being in it every year.
Wait a minute.
Year.
No. They would have to win, by your definition.
Now he's telling me what my definition
you is. You said if other teams win it, then you weren't the dominant team.
I said over a long period of time, you're the dominant team ruling over others.
I think I agree with Fred in a sense. I think dynasty has as much to do with playoff appearances in addition to Super Bowls as anything else. If you look at the 49ers of the 1980s, they made like 13 straight playoff appearances.
But they wouldn't be a dynasty without the 5 titles.
No, clearly not.
You gotta have the title.
Like Brian, 14 out of 16. That's incredible.
Incredible. The only 2 years they didn't make it, they went 10-6 and missed 1 year.
That's incredible.
And the other year was a strike shortened season.
But my only point—that's
winning at a high level over a long period of time.
My only point is you have to take into account the era. And as I said to Fred this morning, say for the next 15 Super Bowls, it just flip-flops all around. An AFC team, an NFC team, this team, that team. No one gets on a roll where they win a couple, go to a couple. Doesn't that make you say, wow, the Patriots were able to do that, and it's the same era, salary cap, free agency. They were a dynasty of that.
You know what? I disagree. Why can't you just simply say they were great, they bucked the trend, they did what other teams...
Well, then I don't think we should call anybody a dynasty. They're all just great teams.
Why do you need to call them a dynasty? What does this mean?
Why are you so afraid of that word?
Because the word...
It means more to Fred.
Should mean more. Should mean more to everyone.
It's just like
as soon as a guy, you know, you hear these analysts and other players on radio and TV talking about players in the NFL, and they just throw out a guy and he's great. Well, then what is great? Everybody's great.
I think great should be great. Fred,
good should be good.
I think
and there's
we have a
too
problem.
Many guys that are referred to as great.
I think we have a problem trying to go to extremes with everything.
Because everybody wants to be ahead of the curve.
Every year, the Super Bowl was the greatest of all time. Is this the best Super Bowl ever? I mean, is this guy the greatest player ever? We always do that. But I think when you look at football, I think you define a dynasty. I don't care what Webster says dynasty means, Fred. I think we can define
the little guy on the TV show.
We can make our own definition based on the variables that go into greatness in this league at this time in this era. And I think that when you do that, a team that can win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, that's dynasty, especially in a salary cap era. Dallas didn't do it in the salary cap era. This will be the most dominant period of the salary cap era.
Look, I disagree, okay? What you said is right. It is the most dominant period of the salary cap era, but that doesn't make it a dynasty.
Brian, don't you think the salary cap era argument or phase of this is being overplayed because history... No, just let me finish. History repeats itself, and sooner or later, the teams are all going to figure out how to manage the salary cap, and it's going to be back to an even playing field. Some teams are obviously better at it right now, but should that go into the fact that they want to call it
dynasty
now?
I think teams have already figured it out. I mean, teams have chosen the way they want to do it. I mean, we're now, what, 12 years into the salary cap? I mean... We're pretty established right now. Dallas won some of their Super Bowls in the salary cap era, but they were still kind of managing it
my point,
the old way.
My point is this. if 30 years from now there's two other teams after the Patriots who have short runs of dynasties or whatnot, are you going to say they were the second dynasty of the salary cap era? Why is it always, why is the salary cap era?
People call the Steelers of the 70s a dynasty.
All right, let
people
me ask you a question. The Patriots win this Super Bowl. They won 3 out of 4. The next 4 years, some other team wins three
let's
out
let's
of four.
Say Philadelphia.
Are they both dynasties?
Maybe.
That's the flaw in your argument.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a flaw. First of all, I don't think it's going to happen.
But let's just say it does. No one thought this could happen.
Fred picked Philadelphia. They're
nobody
a great example.
Nobody thought a team in the salary cap era could win 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. Not that they've done it yet, but if they do. If the Patriots, if some other team then goes on to win 3 out of 4 the next 4 years, are they a dynasty?
In the next 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then too many dynasties, Brian.
No.
See, I agree.
Why do we have to have a limit?
There's
no limit.
It's the same thing as the Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, because the record was cheapened when a year later Barry Bonds hit 70. If everybody had gone back to where 40 home runs was the norm, so 63 or whatever it was is that much greater.
So when Dallas won 3 in 4 years, did that cheapen what Pittsburgh did?
Brian, I don't think Dallas was a dynasty. That's my point.
I understand, Fred. I'm not saying that. I'm saying did Dallas's stretch cheapen Pittsburgh's stretch?
Fred's starting to convince me. I'm starting to go to that argument.
Listen,
just kind
of
played
no
a big
problem
role.
With, I have
a
no
dynasty
problem with
should
Fred's
be indisputable. And if you can argue it, then it's not a
it's
dynasty.
It's got to be indisputable.
Fred, well done. I agree with Fred. Brian, you're wrong.
I have no problem with Fred's definition of dynasty. I think you have to loosen the definition.
Why?
When you're talking about the NFL.
No. Why does there have to be a dynasty?
It doesn't have to be
right,
a dynasty.
So why
Fred?
Do you need to loosen the definition to allow one in? Why do we have to lower the criteria to get into the Hall of Fame?
What are we lowering? One team in the history of football has won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. One.
Yeah, but
so if they do it, that's
why is that? Why is that any greater than going 2-2-2?
Why does it have to be a dynasty?
I think it's a dynasty.
Why do we need to use that word? And say
why
that they
are
that.
Why are you so afraid of that word?
Look, you know
I'm
what?
I'm afraid of it. I just don't think
Brian,
the team that's worthy of a dynasty should in fact be a dynasty.
And I think they are.
Not because we've loosened the criteria.
But I think you have to define it by the sport and the all the variables that go into that. I don't think you can just take the dictionary definition of dynasty.
Look, it's the media wants the dynasty. It's an easy headline. You can make books with it and records and DVDs.
Right,
they're not,
right,
okay?
Yeah.
DVDs, you know, you on board?
Fred, you know what's interesting is that look at the word dynasty as it's used outside of sports.
Right.
And that goes to what you're saying, is that a dynasty is over a long period
exactly.
of time.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we're talking about in relation to the NFL. We're not talking about
the
dictionary
definition. Well,
maybe there
can't be one, or maybe there isn't one. That's okay with me. For some people, that's not okay. There has to be one.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Next topic.
Nicole from Jacksonville, stop and enjoy life. It can be over very quickly. That's what she says.
Well, that's a perfect timing on that
stop
email.
And smell the roses.
Actually, it came in about a half hour ago, so I don't know if she's prescient or we were just really bad or something. I don't know.
Plus, it kind of goes along with Michael Felger's theory and all the people down here. Just stop and enjoy life. And his take was right. Do something.
Well, right. No, he is kind of playing up to the Northeast stereotype of fast-paced, everything
fast,
has to happen now.
Yeah.
And
now.
He is, too. He's herky-jerky.
He's always on the go.
Sully in Orlando, Florida, I want to preface this email by saying the Eagles deserve to be in the Super Bowl. They are a very sound football team, and they are far and away the class of the NFC.
Yep.
A lot has been made about the Philly defense, particularly the secondary. I agree they are a talented group. They have had a wonderful season. I think we need to look at the offenses, particularly the quarterbacks they have faced this season, and I think you begin to see a pattern. Again, I'm not taking anything away from the Eagles, just want to shed some light on this topic. This season, they face the likes of Warner, Harrington, Garcia, Bowler, Testaverde, and Brunell, among others. All of these quarterbacks are infamous for making bad decisions, particularly when their first read is nullified. Bad decisions on the part of an opposing quarterback greatly contributes to the success of a defense. Obviously, you need talented players to capitalize on these bad decisions, but I think it is an angle that hasn't been explored.
I think part of what Philadelphia does is make people look terrible. They dominate people.
That's right.
They make you make bad decisions.
A lot of turnovers are forced turnovers, not just
and
bad throws.
Brian, in addition to hearing, you know, some of the New England coaches today say that the Philadelphia secondary is the best they've seen this year, I would imagine some of the Patriots players are saying the same thing.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Jennifer says, interesting little info on the Cleveland coaching staff in a piece in the Dallas Morning News. Crennel will be bringing in Carthon as the offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
Just thought I'd pass that. I heard that.
Portis wrote that.
Yeah, I don't think that that's accurate because he's under contract, and Parcells has, and technically he's listed as the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, even though he only calls the running plays. So the question,
he only calls the running plays?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So the question is whether or not Parcells will allow him to even talk to Crennel about this.
So if you're a defensive coordinator, you just see if Maurice Carthon moves his lips, and when he moves his lips, you know it's a running play.
Well, he's in charge of the running play, and the other guy that they've got there,
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton is doing the passing plays.
Wow, that's what I would do. I'd just watch who's ever lips moved.
Yeah. Josh from Amesbury, the Eagles are a good all-around team, but their defensive front is not as good as Pittsburgh, and their offense is a joke compared to Indianapolis. Last week, everyone knew this and were correctly assessing that the Eagles are maybe the fourth best team the Pats will beat this year. Week two of the Super Bowl hype, the teams always start looking better than they really are because you media types start believing what the players are saying. So there, shot at us.
There's something to be said for that.
I think it is true.
Overanalyze and looking for stuff.
There's definitely some truth to that.
Absolutely.
No question.
I mean, how many years? I think
Brian's
Brian
dying.
Moore's going to die. How many years?
This will be our Brian.
I wish we were recording.
Fred, this will be our Brian Morey tribute edition of PFW in Progress.
I mean, you know, a lot of us were really young, but in 85, you know, the Patriots made that unlikely trip to the Super Bowl by winning three road games in Miami, you know, in Miami, and then they got to New Orleans to play the Bears, and people actually thought, hey, they've got a chance. Well, no, they didn't. You know, they analyzed it. They looked at the running game. They didn't have a chance.
That's something, that exact topic is what I've been talking to a lot of the players about today, and it's something I asked Levens, and he's like, nothing that we're talking about this week matters at all. Let's just play.
Right. Yeah. Play ball.
Penny writes in, what color jersey are the Patriots wearing Super Bowl Sunday?
Orange.
It's going to be white. Do you think they'd bring out the silver jersey?
Let's wear the red throwbacks.
No?
No.
Be so, white.
It's going to come out in blue on blue.
It's going to be a light color jersey because the Eagles are the home team and they get to choose and they're wearing their dark shirt.
It'll be white. Patriots have never won a Super Bowl in white, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Oh, no. All these streaks. There's so many that are conflicting.
Corey again, who do you think will be a bigger impact in the Super Bowl, Dylan or Westbrook? Also, on a different note that is not a Super Bowl question, I've seen that the AFL, the Arena Football League, has been expanding. Do you think that Massachusetts or a neighboring state will ever have a team?
I hope so.
And if they did,
how about Hartford?
I would probably become a fan.
Hartford's too far.
Well, I know
Providence.
There's an AFL 2 team in, up in Nashua.
Well, there's also one in Connecticut, isn't there?
It probably
Mohegan,
is.
One of the casinos or something. Yep. Mohegan Sun
has a team.
I was going to say, I could picture like Hartford or Providence getting an AFL team.
I would
team.
Love Providence to have an AFL. I would go to that. I was watching it in HD the other day on TV. Fast-paced game.
I wish the Crafts would buy one. But
why?
Well,
it's fun.
No, I wish they would, but at the same time, I know they wouldn't because unless they own the arena in which the team plays,
right.
it's not a profitable entity.
Right, right.
You spend a lot of money marketing to bring people into an arena
that
where
you
you're not going to make the money off.
Exactly.
You know who's dumb? Jeremy Jacobs. He should have planned ahead and had an arena team ready for this year.
Yeah.
To fill the nights for the Bruins games. It's a fun game. I mean, if you watch it, it's a fun game. You can turn it on, and 3 minutes left, it's like 60-30, and then all of a sudden it's 60-59 or something.
I wonder if AFL fans are people who also enjoy the NFL, or if people who like AFL can only like one or the other.
I
think a lot of people are like you, Fred, where if you love the NFL, it's hard to like the AFL.
Yeah.
See, Fred's an old kind of old school guy, but I think, like, say a Vikings fan who likes watching Culpepper to Moss, I think that's the kind of fan that would like to go watch some other quarterback throw five touchdowns.
I actually agree with Fred. Like, I can't watch the AFL because I'm so used to the NFL, but,
yeah,
you know.
Let's see. Mike Lopiano says, though the published rumors have him destined for the Titans, I'd love to see the Pats take a run at Norm Chow for their offensive coordinator position. This guy has a long history of designing very creative and incredibly effective offensive game plans, and his history of developing and working with top-flight QBs at Brigham and Young is legendary. Many, in fact, have been Heisman Trophy candidates or winners. I had the opportunity to see firsthand here in Raleigh the positive effect he had on Phil Rivers' development the year he spent at North Carolina State's offensive coordinator. Finally, look at what he's done as Pete Carroll's coordinator at USC the past couple of years. Matt Leinart, the national champion and Heisman Trophy winner. Chow says he'd like to try the challenge of the NFL. In my opinion, Belichick would be wise to look west.
I doubt it. It would involve a system change. And
That's the thing. I think Norm Chow has his own philosophy.
Right.
And I don't think that he would want to come in and just be a lieutenant.
Right.
I agree.
You know?
Word.
So, wow, the people, somebody actually agrees with me. I can't believe it. Paul Perillo writes in.
Really? Paulie?
Yeah.
By the way, I have an update from Paul's article today on Patriots.com after his email.
He has
too.
A story on Patriots.com.
Paul says that Todd Porter is a very smart man.
Screw you, Porter. I mean, Perillo.
Wow.
Porter probably takes a week off like you are.
Wow. Wait, that kind of leaves me to take a shot now, doesn't it?
Yeah, take a shot at Paul.
Let's write an article or two, Paul.
Yeah.
Let's Chubbs. See. Bill
yes,
writes
I agree
in.
With
Bill
Brian.
Sweat. He says when Tom Brady was asked about a future contract with the Patriots, he implied that he would be willing to at least consider taking a smaller contract in order to remain with the Patriots. My question is, if number 12 does decide to restructure his contract, what do you think is a realistic number for him as far as a salary cap hit, and how long of a contract would it likely be?
I'm not sure he quite implied that.
I'm not sure he did either.
I mean, I could see how you could read into that quote and think that he's not out to get the most money he possibly can. He didn't really say it.
All he said is he knows where his priorities lie. Maybe his priorities lie in financing his future presidential campaign with a $100 million
exactly.
NFL contract. Getting
in with the Democratic or Republican
right.
Party.
I mean, he just said he knows where he lies, and it's a personal decision that he'll have to make when he crosses that bridge.
Paul went to Middletown, Rhode Island?
Yeah. To see Shane? I bet you Shane got him some quotes.
Let's see. Paul writes in again, and he says, Christian Fourier is not a free agent. He was extended in the preseason.
That's what I thought, too, but Brian I wasn't sure on that one. Brian was...
It's hard to keep track
Paul,
of that because...
A lot of inaccuracies
no one,
of Brian's
no one
little
tells
FA
us
list.
When somebody re-signs a contract.
You know,
so it's hard to...
Whoa, are you criticizing
Fourier?
Fred, are you criticizing the organization?
A little bit.
He signed, did he?
Yeah. He did
Paul's kind of playing the role of stat boy.
Like yeah, doing stat boy on the
Paul's definitely stat boy right now.
Hey, Gary writes in, not Gary Gerdecki,
going
another
by my
Gary.
List that I have.
He says that Troy Brown will fill in at coordinator, so he'll be the offensive coordinator.
Drew it all, sense. Troy Brown. Did Troy Brown get an award today?
He can be. Oh, did he? No,
I think the only award today is Rookie of the Year.
Player of the Year.
Because I saw him outside the hotel holding like a trophy and talking into a camera like some sort of
really?
Award show that he. Had.
Wow.
You know how they do those things. Troy Brown's not able to be with here tonight.
Best two-way, three-way player.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd like to thank everybody for giving me this trophy.
I want to know.
I didn't know Troy Brown talked
like that. I want to know if Paul went to Middletown, Rhode Island.
Come on, put it together.
Will from Omaha, Nebraska.
No.
Oh, breaking stuff up.
Paulison left his butt.
Out.
He went to the good food store.
Oh, that's true. He did venture a couple miles up Route 1 from the stadium.
Wow.
Paul's going to
be
mad.
This is Paul Perillo.
But luckily, it's late in the show. We won't get the emails in. But
this is Paul Perillo.
You can hear the ticking from here.
Yeah, tick, 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 tick.
You know, I acted as Paul's agent today.
Really?
Can I just ask you a question?
I tried to get him on Fox Sports New England during baseball season as well as football season.
Nice.
Based on how you...
They said no.
Will from Omaha, Nebraska.
She ruined his career, too.
Because of the vast difference in the quality of teams this year between the AFC and NFC, how do you think the Bills would have done in the Pop Warner League we call the NFC?
Better.
And what do you think of a rule saying that any team who gets a wild card or playoff berth and their record is below 500, they forfeit their spot to a superior team?
No.
No.
You know,
no changing the system. It is what it is. It goes both ways.
Right.
It's been the AFC. It's been the NFC. It all plays itself out in the end.
There's nothing that says 4 years from now it's not going to be the AFC who's going through the exact same thing.
Right. Okay. No matter what you do, you're always going to have the chance of a bad team getting in, a good team being left out. You know, a couple years ago, the Patriots thought there should, you know, Mr. Kraft was kind of behind an initiative or whatever you call it in the NFL to add a playoff team. But those are the things. You start tinkering with it, you start becoming kind of a sideshow.
Major League Baseball?
Right. You don't want to change it. People like the history and like the system and stick with it.
What's wrong with Major League Baseball?
You change it. Interleague play or MLS, you change everything. And bad teams. Or hockey, where more than half the league makes the playoffs and they play for months.
Basketball and hockey are ridiculous.
So, you know, the NFL's on top, and I know they're always trying to stay ahead of the curve and do new things, but some stuff just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think as a product, the NFL is far and away
no question.
The best product
no
of, the,
question.
Of the sports leagues.
By far.
All right, James Edwards again from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Just in case I don't get a chance to get my Super Bowl pick tomorrow, I think the Patriots will win going away
with Dylan running for 155 yards and Brady hitting some passes deep off the play action. The defense will control the Eagles long enough so the Patriots can get a comfortable lead, and they will hold it to the end. So that's James. All right.
We love predictions here.
Well, I'm sure we'll do the predictions tomorrow, but early prediction, MVP.
I think they're going to give it to the defense this time in the Patriots.
You think so?
Really?
Teddy Bruschi.
Really?
Teddy. Wow. Fred Fresh calling for Teddy Bruschi's ride to continue. Fred, Pro Bowl, MVP, all in 1 week.
Fred, I like you're not going with the easy pick, though.
I think Tom Brady goes because everybody goes with the easy pick and becomes a three-time MVP.
That's what I was going to say.
If the Patriots win, it's Corey Dillon.
If the Patriots win, it's Tom Brady.
I think it's Tom Brady. And then we have that awkward moment when he's shaking hands with the guy he's suing for $2 million.
Yeah. Right.
Will from Omaha, Nebraska says Dynasty Schminesty. He's got the whole definition. One, a succession of rulers of the same line of descent. Two, a powerful group or family that maintains its position for a considerable time. Whether you think that simply going to the playoffs consistently or winning the Super Bowl every year makes a dynasty, whether or not you want to call them a dynasty or simply a great team, and regardless of how this was never supposed to happen in the salary cap era, no one can argue that the Patriots as an organization are now and always will be considered one of the greatest teams in the history of the NFL. Absolutely agree with that, no doubt about it.
Next topic.
So there you go. I think we all agree on that. Even
can I ask a question?
No.
No, you can't.
No, I need to. I don't know the X, the Y, the Z, and the F.
Yeah, he made a lot of references that today.
Yeah, I used to know that.
I would assume, is the Y the slot guy because he's in the middle?
The X is traditionally the slot guy.
Oh, the X is the slot guy.
Unless you disagree with me, Brian. But
no, I'm not sure. I thought the X was an outside guy.
I was.
And who's the F?
And the Z is the flanker.
Who the F?
I believe the F is like an H-back.
Okay.
Yeah, the F, I don't know what the F is, but I thought the Z was the guy on the same side as the tight end.
Z, tight end, okay.
No, the same side.
No, same
the
receiver side, yeah. On the same
it's
side.
I thought the Y receiver was the inside receiver.
I thought so, too, but I don't know why.
I thought X was the inside receiver, and then Y was the receiver opposite.
You guys played the game, so you should know.
I was on offense, it was in the backfield, so I never really knew those things. I'm not even sure we had those when I
After him saying, me mad, it was, me block.
Hey, no, I carried the ball. I certainly didn't line up out wide very often. And if I did, it was a total decoy or something.
All right. Let's see. This is Nori from Paisley, Scotland. He's the editor of the St. Mirren Football Club website.
Is he wearing a kilt?
He says, come on, get real. We've to believe that because the Eagles have battled through the playoffs without T.O., that they are a team who have a chip on their shoulder as they get no respect and were written off. The Patriots lost just about their whole secondary over the course of the season and battled on after being written off from game to game, including by some of you guys. Then they go through the playoffs without Richard Seymour in two games in which they were all but written off. You're not telling me that the Eagles have any less respect than the Patriots? Patriots win 33-24.
I don't think I ever said the Eagles have less respect than the Patriots. I think from the Eagles' perspective, what they're feeling is that no one gave them any shot.
Right. They're the underdog.
Whether or not that's true, that's how they feel.
Right. And I think to a degree some of the Patriots still feel the same. I know Randall Gay on Media Day was very open in saying that he and Asante Samuel are still, you know, kind of hurt and feel disrespected by everyone saying that because they were playing, the New England Patriots couldn't go to the Super Bowl, couldn't repeat, couldn't do this, couldn't do that.
And can you blame them?
No.
Not at all.
I can't blame either side because as an analyst, you don't expect guys to just go in and play great, you know, an undrafted rookie free agent. On the other hand, disrespect. Yes, you were disrespected, but you're an undrafted rookie free agent. Another weird disrespect. Vince Wilfork holds this grudge against a guy who was a senior in high school when he was a freshman who told him he'd never be anything.
Wow.
Not a coach. Not like a teacher, and just some guy. And he ranted for like a half hour, like started to get worked up, angered. He's like, I'm going to go, you know, I haven't had a chance. My brother sees me every once in a while. I'm going to go down there after the Super Bowl. He's probably a bum on the street. I'm going to see who made something himself. And like,
you know, and Wilfork's the most laid-back cat you could ever meet.
He is.
I mean, he's just...
It must have really affected him.
I hope this show
affected you. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow at noon with our final show before the Super Bowl. I hope you join us. Get your late picks in on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening.